about. So easy. You gotta put it in
perspective. What's wrong with you? Why don't you cancel all this noise you're making? Can't even hear my radio for you.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
What's your emergency?
I need a citizen that jams a Lincoln and Woodbury.
I know, what's
they
the problem?
They stole my damn dollars. He won't fix my castle. I'm having a ride in it. He's holding my dollars 10 cents.
Hold on, slow down. What's going on? Hello?
What did I say?
I can't tell. You're yelling.
I need a citizen. I want my dollar or my taco.
You're having a problem with the taco?
I am.
Welcome to the Quiet Corn. I'm Elsa Clack. Breakfast is served between 5:30 and 6:15 a.m.
What if we sleep to a normal hour?
Well, that would be very rude of you.
And now.
Ah, there they are. Kevin, let's greet our guests.
Duty calls.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Tuesday, the 26th of July.
Why is Bernie Sanders yelling at me so much?
Yeah.
How has he not had an aneurysm? No one can scream that much and still be alive.
I don't watch the news because I'm a kid.
Hasn't he been doing that for a year now?
Yes.
Probably his whole life.
Oh, he's probably been screaming. Yeah. I bet you're right, Allie. I bet he walks in at the end of the campaign trail at night and he goes, "Hey, honey, I'm home." It's just he yells so much.
Yeah, he's a yeller.
You just keep turning the volume down on your TV more and more and more, but you can still hear him.
Yeah. I noticed that watching the Republican National Convention as well. That microphone is there for a reason.
Right.
But people get up there and just scream.
I think people don't make speeches in front of crowds that big.
Yeah.
So they feel like they really have to project. It's a whole different thing.
That
it's
could
not
be
easy.
It.
It's not easy to do. Yeah.
And I think it sounds different in your head than it does on the other side of the room. And I think you don't know what it sounds like out there until you go out there. But it was a lot of yelling, man.
I'm surprised Bernie still has a voice.
Yeah, no kidding. You'll be happy to know, Kevin, there was just as much discord, including locker-up chants, at the Democratic National Convention last night.
Democrats
chanting "locker up," so it's a little more exciting than I thought it might be.
I felt like, as far as entertainment value, the Democrats were sort of slacking on us.
Yeah, right. They were real boring. Let's be positive.
They were bringing everything they had.
Yeah.
So I'm glad to see the Democrats stepping up and doing their part.
Yeah, they're being real shady.
Love it.
It's awesome.
I love it.
But when you've got Demi Lovato performing, what else do you need for an evening of political entertainment?
Ever. Wasn't it? She's like, "Hi, you guys. I'm an, recovering addict, and let me launch into this song.
I struggle with mental illness. Let me sing for you."
It was so weird.
It was very weird.
Why would she say that? Was that a theme?
Yes,
there was a theme going
mental
on at that point.
Yeah. Okay, mental health. Okay, mm-hmm. And she was described on the Chiron, one of the networks, as a former Disney star and Twitter personality. Isn't she also a pretty popular singer?
I feel like she's got a lot of hits.
Maybe? I feel like singers should be first.
Yeah. I do too. Yeah. Yes. I don't know that Twitter personality is an occupation. I'm sorry.
That's funny.
So anyway, well, we'll talk more about that later, including some of the worst filling on stage you've ever heard in your life, Kevin.
Kevin.
For all the times we've ever had to stretch while waiting for a guest to get on the phone, we've never been as bad as two professional comedians were last night.
No.
So we got that later. But let me first do this story because I think you guys will enjoy it so much. It's too good. I couldn't even save it for What's Up with Florida, although it does happen in Miami-Dade County. There is a woman, an English-speaking only teacher, who applied for a job, and one of the duties of that job at the school was teaching Spanish to students. Okay?
But she knew none.
She does not speak Spanish.
Okay.
She did not get the job, and she is
suing
the school district, claiming she was discriminated against because she is white.
Unbelievable.
Wow. This story has everything.
Tracy Rosner is her name. She is a third grade teacher at Coral Reef Elementary. She filed a federal lawsuit in Southern District of Florida last week claiming employment discrimination on the basis of her race, which is white. So her argument is, and it's a very long article, I won't go through most of it, but her argument is that she is otherwise fully qualified for the job and that they should just hire somebody else to do the Spanish part because she can do all of the other subjects.
Okay.
Hey, look, I, can teach the math. I can teach the history. I can teach the science. I can teach PE. I just can't teach Spanish. So don't not hire me just because of that.
But so she will give part of her salary to that person?
Well, she didn't mention that. Oh. That's a reasonable ask, though. Her complaint says that the school could have given the job to her, then just had somebody else teach the foreign language component, and she therefore is suing. The lawsuit claims that non-Spanish speakers are a minority population in Miami-Dade County, and that seeking employment solely from Spanish speakers disproportionately affects this teacher and others like her. How about that? How's that for balls? Wow. I mean, wouldn't it be like saying, I want to play for the Los Angeles Dodgers. I want to be a pitcher for the Los Angeles Dodgers, but I can't throw a fastball and I can't throw a curveball.
Right.
But I got a great sinker. Put me in. And then for the other pitches, just have somebody else come out on the mound and throw those. Wouldn't it be
like...
It's because I'm white. So I will keep my eyes peeled on this to see what happens. I hope that no court will hear this case.
Oh, agreed.
I hope this is one of those where they go.
Yeah, you got to throw that out.
It's just too absurd to go forward. But who knows? Maybe they'll find some legal reason that this hasn't been decided before and they need to do it or something. I don't know. But talk about gonads.
That's baloney.
Right?
It doesn't
right?
make sense.
You're right, Judy.
Oh, I want Judge Judy to secure this case.
Right? She could do that in 2 minutes.
Yep.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
What are you saying? Are you having a stroke? What does that even mean?
Oh. technology. I don't want to say that.
We'll fix it in post.
We're going to fix Bean.
What?
Mm-hmm.
What?
What's going to happen today?
We're
going to fix Bean.
Why does
fix
Bean
him?
Need fixing?
Oh, Bean needs fixing.
Okay.
You're going to be so happy with us, Bean, you're going to send us each a check.
What's happening on the other side?
Like he does all the time.
I doubt that.
I doubt that, too, actually. We have a new psychic, Samuel the Psychic. Very excited
God
about that.
God damn you to hell.
We have tickets
Thank
for
you.
An event,
I stand with you, Bean.
Tickets for an event screening of Suicide Squad.
And I'm with her.
We also have the Suicide Squad for Gotham Getaway, which is a chance for you to win a trip to New York. It's not a drawing today. It's actually a trip that we're giving away today.
Wow.
We have the Bachelorette Report. We have apparently there was some good stuff at the DNC.
Yeah.
So we've got some coverage of that. The Olympics are having problems in Brazil.
Oh, my God.
I guess, was it Australia showed up and... Mm-hmm. The place that they were supposed to stay is uninhabitable. That was the word used.
Yeah.
I've heard that they have, I don't remember the exact numbers, but something like they've only certified 12 of the 41 Olympic Village residences as being livable at this point. So they got a lot of work to do, and the Olympics start pretty soon.
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken.
I feel like water seeping from the walls and the smell of gas shouldn't greet you when you walk in.
Both of those seem bad.
Yeah.
So anyway, we'll talk about that this morning. And we've got Jake Weary in studio. He plays Darren on Animal Kingdom.
Yeah,
is that your favorite show right now, Allie?
I do love it so much. That and Ray Donovan, neck and neck.
Yeah.
So good.
Love it so much. So that's coming up this morning. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next.
That was shoot across the...
Hey!
Good one. Like it, Chip.
Felt good to you?
Yeah, brought it home. It will be something a little extra in your envelope this week, Chip. That was pretty strong.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. It's 5:52.
I know we have to wait 2 more hours for the Bachelorette Report, but I did see online last night, Ralph. It looked like JoJo was sad.
Oh, there was a lot of waterworks last night.
Were there?
Well.
And that has to hurt you personally because you'd love her.
I love JoJo.
Mm-hmm.
And
so do the four fighting remaining people.
That's the problem. Oh. And she has feelings for all of them. So her tears were not for herself, but for the fact that she had to say goodbye to some people that she had very strong feelings for. And that made them feel bad. And then she felt bad because she was responsible for their pain. That's the kind of woman JoJo is.
Wow.
She's a lover and a joker and a smoker.
Really?
Yes. And occasionally at midnight, she's known to be a toker.
So when they
She's
say
a bitch.
She is not a bitch, I will fight you.
I think that was a lady
was
that said it.
When they say, in this case, JoJo says, "I have feelings for all four of you," is that just for TV, or do you really think that you can kind of fall for four people at the same time?
Oh, absolutely.
Really?
Of course. Well, you couldn't, but a person could. A person with a heart could absolutely do that, especially in that situation, because they put you in the most romantic scenarios possible. and they give you every – it's like summer camp romances times four. They just keep putting you in these wonderful locations, and there's no pressure, and there's no real-life responsibilities. There's no work, and there's no – you just – You, it's like a romance novel.
And you're seeing the best of everyone.
Right, and they're attractive people, and you're out there, and I bet it's so easy to get caught up in those people in each and every situation. And you're with this person, like, oh, this is the greatest guy ever. And then they go away, and then you go to this new amazing date with this attractive person. You go, oh, this is the most amazing guy ever. And that keeps happening for months. No, it's like it's some sort of torture, that show. It's like it's some sort of mind F. Wonder. That never really works out because it's crazy.
Very excited about today's Bachelorette Report with you and Pete coming up just at 8 o'clock this morning. First, though, what's going on in the world of showbiz here on a Tuesday morning?
Well, congratulations to Omarosa. She's getting married. Omarosa's getting married.
I know her name from which reality show?
Well, Kevin, that'd be the Apprentice.
Apprentice, okay.
She was made famous.
She was awful, right?
She was awful. She was the villain of The Apprentice.
Liar or something? Yes.
Backstabbing, a liar. Unbearable. Everyone hated her because she was selfish beyond compare. She was evil. She was self-centered. And, Kevin, you'll be happy to know that Donald Trump has appointed her a place in his team.
No.
I'm sorry.
What do you mean no? You haven't heard about this?
No. Like a week ago.
What are they doing?
Wait, what?
Yes, Omarosa's on his team.
Omarosa's the new Secretary of State.
Yes,
awesome.
She is. She's the Secretary
That's
of State.
That's great. Does she report to President Trump or Vice President Busey?
She reports to President Trump. He put her on her. I can't believe you didn't know this.
I feel like
it's a full-blown reality show candidacy now because Omarosa is now on Donald Trump's presidential team.
Is the Director of African American Outreach.
Yes. She's the ambassador to black people.
You know, I think I saw that and thought it was a joke.
No, that's real.
I could see why you would think it's a joke. Wow.
She is the ambassador to black people for Donald Trump.
Because white people can't talk to black people?
Right.
Okay.
Well, he shouldn't, maybe.
Oh, no. Yeah. Donald shouldn't, for sure.
Yeah. Okay. Let me give you a little clue. Kevin is blacker than Omarosa is, by the way. She may not be the choice for this task either. But I just thought that was hilarious. Anyway, she has announced that she is getting married. So congratulations to that poor bastard.
How did she find a dude to marry her?
Well, she was engaged or married to Michael Clark Duncan, remember?
No, I don't remember that.
Right. Wow. Yes.
Then she killed him.
Right, she killed him, and then now she's going to kill this guy.
Wow.
I don't think she killed him.
Even if Donald Trump,
of all people, who don't buy into the murder romance conspiracy theory. You? Really?
If you saw it on Dateline, you'd believe it.
Thank you.
What if they were on a cruise ship?
Oh, definitely, then. Okay, come on.
Even if Donald Trump knows something about Omarosa that we don't and knows that she is a strong, capable, intelligent woman, don't you just not appoint her because everyone already hates her?
Yes.
I would think.
Yes.
Okay.
Bean keeps trying to apply logic, and it just doesn't work.
It's adorable, isn't it?
It's cute.
This Pokemon Go. Stop it.
Well, wait a minute. I thought it was doing good work.
It was, but now it's just... It's...
People are getting arrested. People are falling off cliffs. I'm good with it.
In Paris, France, last week, a woman was playing Pokemon Go from her front row seats at the Beyoncé concert. So Beyonce's up there on stage, and this woman's got her phone up, and she is trying to catch them all while all the single ladies are putting a ring on their finger or whatever they do. And so someone behind her, God bless, is videotaping her playing Pokemon Go with his phone. Meanwhile, there's a concert going on.
Right. Yeah,
Beyonce's like playing. And they have front row seats. You have front row seats to Beyonce, and you're playing Pokemon Go.
Yep.
F you.
Yep, same.
In fact, Rihanna Saturday night told people at a concert in Rhode Island, I don't want to see you texting your boyfriends or girlfriends, she said during the show. I don't want to see you catching any Pokemons up in this bitch. So, good for Rihanna for taking a stand against all things evil. I think Rihanna's just been named ambassador to Pokemon.
Is that right?
Yes.
Wow.
Good work.
I think it crosses the 75 million players mark today or tomorrow, I think, Ralph.
Yeah,
it's Pokemon Go.
But I'm with Ralph, and I'm with the guy who videotaped this. She's in the she's in the front row at a Beyonce concert.
People have lost all sense of any sort of self-control and decorum regarding them wanting anything. It's the new culture is, I want to do whatever I want to do, whenever I want to do it, everything else be damned.
She had to work hard or pay a lot or do something to be in the front row. So watch that you went for. That's crazy.
What was that? What's going on over there? Oh, jeez. Come on, Allie.
Just
possible.
Not even 6 o'clock yet.
Sorry.
Wow.
You're right.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Taylor Momsen, right?
Right.
What happened to her?
Well, it used to be a thing.
Yeah.
And now she sings in a band, right?
Yeah.
She doesn't act much anymore, no. I don't think.
23 years old today. Kate Beckinsale. Come on.
Right.
Come on with that.
Right.
Damn. She's 43 years old. Chris B. Harrison. My buddy Chris Harrison, host of The Bachelor and Bachelorette.
Tiny Hands' birthday is today.
Oh, I will. Oh, you are so... You're pretty bold in New Orleans. Come here and say that. I will dismantle you. He's 45 today. Jason Statham.
Hello, Jason Statham. Hello, it's my birthday.
He's 49 years old today. Jeremy Piven is 51.
The Piv.
The Piv.
Sandra Bullock is 52. Kevin Spacey's 57. Helen Mirren, 71. And Mick Jagger. You can't always get what you want. But if you try sometime, you just might find you're 73 years old. Rolling Stone singer. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
All day long today here on KROQ, including this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. We hook you up with tickets to see Suicide Squad early. We got it on August 2nd in Burbank at the AMC. It's in theaters everywhere on August 5th. And there's another chance for you to win tickets to that screening. If you just can't wait, just go to KROQ.com for all the details.
Asperger's is a condition on the autistic spectrum which makes it difficult for a person to make connections with other people.
Now, why would you play that little piece of audio?
Because that little piece of audio defines you, describes
we
you.
We don't even know anyone with Asperger's.
Bean has Asperger's.
Nope.
Mm-hmm. And there are so many times I've given him the test, and some of the things are repetitive routine or rituals.
Mm-hmm.
Unable to tell if the person that you're talking to is interested in what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Eccentric personality.
Mm-hmm.
He's either a way all yes or a way all no. I mean, it just goes down the line, and every single thing they say, it's Bean.
Okay.
Every single thing, pretty much.
Now, Allie, you've been spared a lot of the Asperger's talk since you've been on the show the last year and a half.
Yes.
But Kevin exaggerates greatly here, right?
I feel like you do have a lot of those characteristics. but whether that means you're on the spectrum or not... doesn't matter to me.
I'd be happy to print out the test again and give it to you. And
I don't think you made
up
test.
Probably score
and
on
then,
it as
maybe,
well.
Maybe this will help you as well.
Really, Sheehy? Okay. You think you might?
Yeah.
Why do you bring this up, Kevin? This is hardly breaking news.
A listener tweeted me this link, and It is high-tech glasses help Asperger's children recognize emotion. These are Google glasses that you can give to somebody who has Asperger's or other forms of autism that have trouble telling what the other person is feeling, and it interprets it for them.
So it analyzes your facial expressions,
yes,
and says, this person is mad or this person is happy.
Exactly.
Oh, wow, that's interesting.
Right? Here's a news report.
Looking into the future, researchers at Stanford University in the U.S. are using special software to help autistic children recognize and classify emotions. The so-called autism glass analyzes facial expressions and instantly gives the user an indication of the emotion. Researchers say the aim is to boost the confidence of users when they're in social settings.
How great is that?
Bean, do you feel like you can't read people?
I don't feel like that's
oh, please,
the case.
Please, like at least have some self.
Other people sometimes feel that I can't read people.
How like
many
when you
other
say
people?
Things to me and I'm really mad and then like an hour passes and you're like, hey, Allie, you mad? And clearly I was.
Uh-huh.
You didn't get that.
Maybe sometimes I miss those cues. Who's this? Who's this Dennis Wall that we have on the phone? I see Dave has lined us up somebody to talk to.
He's the director of Stanford University School of Medicine. Bean.
Oh wow!
Oh,
how about
right.
that?
That sounds fancy. He sounds like a smart guy.
Hey, Mr.
Dennis.
Wall.
How are you?
Good morning. How are you? Great to talk to you, fellas. Don't you know?
We're very good.
Now, do you have something to do with these new Google glasses that my friend Kevin was talking about?
Yes, absolutely. We here at Stanford have perfected the software, don't you know, that reads a person's face while someone with Asperger's is telling a story and helps that person register how the recipient of the story is feeling.
This could completely turn your life around, Bean.
That's the plan. They're called bean goggles. We call them bean
goggles. Okay. All right. That's not.
Put the bean goggles on, and then while you're telling stories or interesting facts or trying to have conversations with people, these goggles read the face of the person and then give the wearer an indication of how their message is being received.
So what kinds of emotions are the glasses capable of seeing?
A wide variety. We've taken over 40,000 different facial indications.
Wow.
That show different levels of emotion, then it's run through an algorithm, and then it's provided to the person who's wearing the glasses.
So if Bean's talking, let's just give a random example that never happens. Bean's talking, and the person that he's talking to is not at all interested in what he's talking about.
Right, a person like Bean what might not be able to register that.
Yes.
So these goggles, rather, will take that information, they will extrapolate it, they will put it down into an easily understandable reaction, and then let the wearer know how the other person is feeling.
Hmm.
Let me give you an example.
Please. Oh, fantastic.
I've got one of my assistants here wearing the glasses, and I will say a variety of things to him while I wear the glasses, and then I will be able to get his facial recognition, I will be able to understand what his emotions are.
Oh, this is exciting.
Okay.
I like it.
Okay,
let me put the goggles on first.
All right.
I've got them on. Okay, now I'm going to talk to my assistant, and then I will be able to read his reactions by using the bean goggles. We're very excited here. Okay, let me try something. Happy 7/12th Christmas!
Shut up.
Wow, that works fast.
Read the reaction of the person. It's very helpful.
Not that happened yesterday on this show, but...
Oh, I have no idea who you are.
Okay, all right, good. Oh, all right.
Okay.
Let me try another one.
Okay.
The Goodyear blimp is in Tacoma this week.
Shut the hell up.
Okay, but that's an actual thing that I actually told people about a couple of weeks ago.
No, who would say that? That's ridiculous. Let me try this one.
All right.
I still keep in touch with some of the little spider family that hatched on my porch in summer 2013.
Don't kill yourself.
Oh, my goodness. That was a strong reaction.
Wow, there's never any good news coming back out of those glasses.
Let me try this. There's a breakfast place in New Orleans that offers an Elvis French toast special.
Oh, my God. Kill me now.
Oh, now the glasses want to be taken out.
Yes, the glasses are not happy with all this information we're feeding them.
Dean, how exciting is this?
Look,
it's going to make your way through life so much better.
I appreciate that.
You're
you guys
welcome, little buddy.
But I'm not sure this is for me.
Shut up.
Oh, now it's reading you over the phone.
Oh, wow. That's good news.
I had to miss the meeting after the show yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like my voice could have been needed in that one.
Your voice was, Allie took your point of view very strongly.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. How was it decided that this gentleman who's on the phone would be on the phone, Kevin?
Everybody else loved it, and everybody else thinks that both of you are crazy, and so everybody else is on board.
Here's
there were people, there were like salespeople coming in and voting.
No,
there was people
at
the front desk
None
coming in and voting.
Business line was ringing.
Business line,
listeners
were calling.
I got texts all day. It was weird. We
Did
didn't even
you?
Guess. It
oh,
was strange.
Okay. I didn't know that.
Yes.
Okay.
Here's what Dave tried to do to try to sneak it past me when he set out the schedule, which was we were going to be meeting a new friend, Samuel the Psychic.
Yes.
Samuel the Psychic.
How exciting is that? The guy can tell the future, Bean.
Who apparently
you don't want
is
to talk
on
to
the
a
phone
psychic?
And joins us on K-Rock right now. Hi, Samuel the Psychic.
No. How are you guys?
We're very good.
Doing fine. How you been, Sam?
I'm trying to get this thing going because everybody is in a statistic motion who's going to be next president.
Right.
And I don't understand. When I came to America, Democratic party should be 4 years or 8 years. Already Obama did 8 years.
Right. Okay.
Now it's about to Republicans.
All right, we don't need a rant here.
So Samuel, you think that they should just switch off? No party should be in office for more than 8 years at a time.
Yeah, so right now there's no other candidate except Donald Trump in Republicans, and now Hillary wants to become the first lady president
Sam,
and have never ever been a
Mr.
lady
Psychic.
president.
Samuel, listen, we don't want your opinions on politics. You're a psychic, right?
I am a psychic without knowing it happens.
Okay, good. Huh. So you predicted, when did you predict that Donald Trump would be the nominee?
When I was telling a joke to my cluster while I'm cutting hair.
When, though? Is that last week? Last month?
Yeah,
last
July,
year?
You know, July 4th or behind that, you know. Like
of this
that.
Year? So
yes.
In July of this year, you predicted Donald Trump would be the nominee.
After he had already won almost all of the primaries.
You want me to tell you the joke that I was telling?
No, not yet. I want to know about your psychic abilities.
How does that make you psychic if you pick a guy once he's already the presumptive nominee? Look, there's only two choices. If you said 2 years ago, hey, you guys, Donald Trump is going to be our next president, now that's impressive.
2 years ago, you know what? The reason Donald Trump wants to be president, also he wants to open a casino in Las Vegas. In Las Vegas, they don't give him a license, you know?
Okay. I thought you were Samuel the psychic.
You did this.
Yes, Kevin. Did you forget what it's like to try to talk to this guy on the phone?
He's a psychic.
Have you ever predicted?
We haven't heard anything.
Yes, we haven't heard that.
Okay.
That has not been established.
Sam, let me run through a list of our NFL teams. How about that? So then you can tell us how they're going to do in the upcoming season. Now, Bean has the Seahawks. I'm the Cardinals. Ralph's the Eagles. Allie is the Patriots. And I think that's it.
Hey, Dolphins.
Dolphins, right. Chip is the Dolphins. So, Sam, which of those teams is going to go furthest this coming NFL season?
I don't do all that. Listen,
he's not that kind of psychic, Kevin.
I was in Africa. I was 11 years old when I felt the parade was going to happen, and then it didn't happen. I felt it, and it was John F. Kennedy assassination. Okay?
Okay, so when you were 11, you predicted that John F. Kennedy would get assassinated.
Yeah, because
that's
I was
impressive.
In a parade the same day, and then it shook me like a, you know,
okay.
Shot.
Okay, so but if you're a psychic, that means that you can probably tell the future. I was asking you about the NFL. You don't do the NFL?
No.
Okay.
What kinds of things do you have psychic abilities with, Sam, if any?
When danger comes towards me, I try to run away from danger.
Well, that sounds very reasonable.
Danger comes toward you. How is that psychic ability? I think that's
I just can't. I cannot. No.
You can't
come
at all.
Come on.
Samuel, come on now. Give us something that we can use in the future that we can all benefit from. You're putting me on the spot here because I vouched for you. And
you're making Kevin look bad.
Right.
And the reason I'm saying I'm psychic because I know the future, whatever it is, it looks like to me, and I tell it like that.
Okay, that's great. That's great. Then tell us something that's going to happen in the future that we don't know.
Anything in any field, anywhere. Predict the future.
Wide open.
I'm predicting the future that is going to be another American, the greatness is going to come, which is going to be controlled by a big power, which is Donald Trump. He's going to get rid of the ISIS everywhere.
He's going to get rid of the
ISIS. He's coming like bed bugs all over the world, causing all these cop killings and bus running to the children in Carnival, in France, in Germany, in the market.
Wow.
What is going on? You think it's going to happen in America?
Sam, you're
no
making it
way.
You're making it's it harder and harder to have you on the phone. I'm telling you right now.
Take care of everything.
All right. Why don't we cut bait here and let Sam take us out so we can all smile in a happy way with a joke. How about that?
Tell us whatever joke you have, the best one. Pick that one and give us that joke.
Since this is probably your last appearance on the Kevin DeMean Show, let's make it really, really funny. Okay, Sam?
What do you mean last?
he meant last today. We don't have time for you today for the rest of the show. So your
okay,
best
I'm
joke.
Gonna, listen, I am trying to do the future I see to myself is I am in like Bob Marley, Rolling Stone, and the Beatles.
Do you see the future long enough to know if you're going to tell us a joke before we hang up or not?
You can hang up if you want. I am still here with my band and doing my...
Sweet
Jesus. Kevin, how are you feeling about that?
Well, that was a miscalculation.
I feel like you should apologize to the listeners and to the nation before we move on, Kevin.
To the nation?
Yes. Yeah.
Why the nation?
Because you are a bad American for what you just put us all through.
Samuel the Psychic is still going to come through for us. I have confidence.
You have as much confidence in it as he does. How is that possible? Based on what? All right. The Summer Olympics, kids, are right around the corner. August 5th is when they open. And as is tradition, every 2 years when you talk about the Olympics, you hear all the horror stories about this country is in no way prepared for the Olympics. And they usually do pull it together at the last minute and everything ends up being fine. I'm not so sure about Rio. 10,000 athletes are staying in 31 different buildings in the Olympic Village, and as of this morning, only 12 have been certified safe to inhabit. Okay? Only 12 of the 31. Australia...
By the way, safe to inhabit.
To inhabit,
that's
yes.
That's a pretty low bar.
Yeah, they're essentially red-tagged buildings at this point, Kevin.
Right.
So the Australian team shows up the other day, and Mike Tancred, who is the spokesperson for the club, says, we're having plumbing problems. We've got leaking pipes. We've got electrical problems. We've got cleaning problems. We've got lighting problems. We did a stress test on Saturday, turned on the taps and flushed the toilets, and water came flooding down the walls. There's a strong smell of gas in some apartments. There is shorting in the electrical wire. We've had to live in nearby hotels because the village is simply not safe. And it is not ready. And more athletes are arriving every day, and they've got no place to put them. So I don't know how they're going to get their way out of this one. But we thought we'd find out. The mayor of Rio de Janeiro, one of the world's great cities in Brazil, Eduardo Paes, joins us on the phone right now. Hello, Mr. Mayor.
Hey, how you doing?
Well, we're fine, but I feel like
and
you're
why
having...
why are we talking if you're fine?
Well, I feel like you're having a little bit of a public relations problem right now with your city.
No, we're not having no problems.
Well, I mean, we just gave an example on the air of the Australian showing up and not liking the fact that there was water running down the walls.
That's a great feature. You have an indoor waterfall in your place. How cool is that?
Right, but...
Who is that? Who has a waterfall in their own place in a building?
But...
It's so sexy.
Right.
Oh, let's open a bottle of wine by the waterfalls.
I don't think so.
But was the waterfall on purpose? Because it sounds like it was an accident.
Sure.
Well, Mayor, can I ask you, it was reported that your response to the Australian saying they don't feel safe and it's uninhabitable was, why don't I put a kangaroo in there to make you feel comfortable? See, no. It's
That's pretty funny.
Wow.
I said that, yeah.
It's really inappropriate.
That actually is pretty funny, although it's inappropriate.
And I'd also like to thank the lady for getting the point to the point of the bit.
No problem.
There was someone in the setup who brought up that piece of information. Because I really thought it was going to go the whole way without saying it. And I was thinking, how can I get that in there? How can I squeeze that in?
But I'm here for you, Mayor.
For you, lady. I like you. Yeah, I said that. I said to them, Australians, hey, I'm going to put a kangaroo in there, then you feel comfortable.
I apologize,
Why
Mr. Mayor.
Take a boomerang and put it in your hiney hole.
Right. So you're just being racist about your visitors rather than addressing the real problem, which
not
is.
Not racist, they like kangaroos, right?
Well, no, not necessarily.
Kangaroos.
Right, but they're not going to have a kangaroo in Brazil.
Well, maybe they feel more comfortable if I do that for them.
Doesn't make any sense.
Look, I think if you fix the electrical problems and the plumbing problems, that would be a good start.
Well, what if I just make everybody feel at home? Hey, French team, how about I put some smelly cheese under your bed, and then you can surrender. How about that?
But that's just
make everybody better. That'd be good, right?
Right, but that's just that's ugly stereotypes about your visitors
British
for the Olympics.
Team, hey, British team, what if I take all the toothbrushes out of the building? That make you feel better? With your teeth all...
Okay, again, you're not improving the situation at all.
You're going to have those British janky teeth, right?
Right. But if you're trying to be welcoming to athletes from around the world...
I got your welcome right here. That's what I got right here. I got welcomes. Hey, Russia team, how about if I get you some vodka and get you so drunk that you lie about all your drug tests? That make you feel comfortable. That make you feel comfortable.
What is it?
Comfortable.
Comfortable?
Comfortable.
What?
That make them feel comfortable.
Okay.
How exactly did you get elected to office there, sir?
Hey, Mexican team. How about if I just build a gate and then you dig under it and come into your building that way? How about that?
Okay. Why would you even say something like that? Again, you're just being racist on top of being a terrible host.
I am so drunk.
You're drunk?
Yeah. Okay. Anything else? Me, I would have gotten out on drunk. That's me. That's all I know.
I wish you were here.
I wish you were here.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:51.
Animal Kingdom.
Yes.
It's a show that people love.
Yes.
Yes, so much.
Yes.
Oh, very excited to have actor Jake Weary from the program. He joins us in about 20 minutes or so right here on K-Rock. It airs Tuesday nights at 9 on TNT.
Ralph, I know you're aboard, too. Are no good.
Right?
Oh,
right?
They're so good.
They're
though.
No good.
Oh, but by no good, so good.
And then the teachers are boning students. What's happening there in Oceanside? Stop it.
I don't know, but it sounds like it's time for a live broadcast. Sounds like good things are happening in Oceanside is what I'm saying.
Right.
That's what Ralph meant.
That's your takeaway, is it?
Let's go back to the glasses guy.
6:51. It's Tuesday morning. Time for another look at the showbiz beat. What's going on?
Well, here's the thing.
She's
just a dumpster fire of a person.
It seems like it's on and off, though. For a while, we didn't hear much about her.
For a year or so,
well,
it seems.
Well, sometimes you run out of trash in the dumpster.
Yeah, I guess so.
And then you fill the dumpster back up again, and then you just light a fresh match.
Now, your story yesterday made it sound like she could only communicate with her estranged fiancé over Twitter.
No, it seemed like she could communicate with him any way she wanted, but she chose to Instagram everything about her relationship.
All right.
She put up pictures of a woman he was supposedly sleeping with. Oh, here's my fiance with a Russian hooker, and thanks a lot, and you suck. And just, it was an endless parade of dirty laundry airing on Instagram.
Hmm.
Then a video was posted from the British tabloid The London Sun from some neighbors of the two of them, of Lindsay screaming, "He just strangled me, help, help. Called the police. I'm Lindsay Lohan," and she gave out her address. So the cops show up to investigate a woman in distress report, and they bash down the door, and police say occupants were found to be safe and well. No one was arrested. Then Lindsay was heard screaming again. Then she hightailed it out of the house, threw him out of the house, hightailed it out of town via Heathrow Airport. But here's the best part of the whole story. She then put up on Instagram a picture of a heart-shaped cloud with the following caption. "I would appreciate if these speculations regarding my personal life would respectfully come to a halt." "Unfortunately, a private matter has become more public than I can control, and I would be extremely grateful if my fiancé and I could discuss our personal matters on our own. There are more important things going on in the world than our relationship. Please leave us be to solve our personal matters."
What?
Here's the thing. Maybe don't Instagram to your millions of followers pictures of women saying your fiancé is sleeping with a Russian hooker.
Yeah, you brought it to the public.
We wouldn't have known anything about it if you hadn't went on an Instagram tirade about how he was doing you wrong.
Wow. That's spectacular.
That was like when Khloe Kardashian said to Chloe Moretz, "Hey, stop talking about my family and our personal business." What? You cease to exist if we don't talk about that. It's madness. It's the end times. We're circling. Bring Trump on. How much worse could it get?
I don't think you want to know the answer to that.
Bring it on.
I don't think you want to. She's a lot of work, that one, Lindsay Lohan.
You think?
Yeah.
Wait. What's your first reason for doing that, Kevin?
Pretty high maintenance. I don't think she's a good deal.
Speaking of high maintenance, Ozzy and Sharon are back together.
Okay.
All right. I'm happy to hear that, though. I think Ozzy needs Sharon. I really do.
Do you?
I do.
Do we need Ozzy?
It's a great question, Ralph.
Why do we need to keep him going? I don't understand.
I still like Ozzy. What do you want to happen? What do you want to see happen? You want a murder
care.
Suicide?
Just
what are
go
you hoping
away.
For
Look,
here?
Just go away. Just go away. Why does he need Sharon? Doesn't he have the hairdresser or whatever is going on?
I don't know. I feel like Sharon is his rock. Sharon has guided him for 50 years.
Yeah, he has trouble doing anything, I think.
That's the impression.
But that's not necessarily her problem.
Nor is it ours.
Yeah.
I don't need to keep him going. He's rich, right? Handle it.
I think maybe we should let them handle their business privately, and we shouldn't be drawn into this.
All right, Lindsay Lohan. He was on Good Morning America talking about it. Should we let them be private now, Bean? As he talked about his relationship on Good Morning America on a major network on television?
And what's he saying?
Should we respect their privacy now?
Does he have good news?
Their separation was just a bump in the road, he says. And they're back on track.
Okay.
I'm glad that they're back together. I want to see him happy. He's done a lot for
us. Me too. And I'm glad that
not sure she needs him, but
I'm glad that their daughter tweeted her home phone number and sent it out and told everyone to call the hairstylist he was having the affair with to blame for the relationship. I'm glad that happened, too. I'm glad they're glad these two are back together again and everything's fine in the Osborne house. And I wonder how that woman is feeling with her personal information being bandied about on the social media.
Yeah, Kelly was pretty gross during the whole thing. Last time I checked, your dad was boning her.
Right?
So
I feel like Lindsay Lohan should move into that household.
I think we should all put them on an island, set up some cameras, and then drone strike. Right? Who's with me?
Why are we setting up cameras then if we're just going to drone strike?
I want to watch the strike.
Do you have any good news?
Yeah, I got some good news.
Okay.
Marnie Nixon is dead.
Aw, that's sad.
Who's that?
Kevin, you don't care about anything. Period. But beyond that, especially anything sort of old.
Yeah.
Or someone who's not particularly famous. But I think this woman had a fascinating career.
Okay.
And I think even you might have to agree.
All right.
She was known as Hollywood's invisible voice.
Okay.
Let me tell you about Marnie Nixon, who she was and what she did. In the good old days in Hollywood, they would take movie stars and put them as the lead in musicals, whether they could sing or not. And so this woman made an entire career out of being the voice for other famous movie stars in movie musicals.
And then they would just lip sync it?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
She was the voice of Deborah Kerr in The King and I. Audrey Hepburn in My Fair Lady. Natalie Wood in West Side Story. Marilyn Monroe in Diamonds Are a Girl's Best Friend. She sang on more than 50 movie soundtracks as just the voice of these much more famous high-profile Hollywood actresses.
Wow.
Made a career.
I didn't know that was a thing.
No one did.
How about that?
That's the way they wanted it. They wanted her to not really, you don't so much with you, just sing. Don't talk, don't be out there, don't be a person, just disappear. And so she passed away this week at the age of 86. But that's a pretty interesting story about a woman who made her entire career being the man behind the curtain.
I agree.
In The Wizard of Oz. You agree?
I agree.
See that? I knew we'd find some common ground.
And that's your good news, though, is that Marnie Nixon is dead?
Yeah, I'm not sure. That is either. I wasn't
following. She was 86 years old. She had quite a career and quite a life. And
he's celebrating her.
Celebrating her life, I think, is what we're doing. We're
Did she die doing what she loved? Do we know that?
We need those glasses, I'm telling you.
Really
need them right away.
Stat. Bean goggles.
Mm-hmm.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Taylor Momsen's 23 years old today. Actress Kate Beckinsale turns 43. Chris Harrison, host of The Bachelor, The Bachelorette, and Bip. I can't wait for
Bachelor in Paradise.
Bachelor in Paradise.
He's an excellent host, by the way.
Sure,
I don't
is.
Just say that because it's his birthday. That's a very difficult job, and he navigates those waters very well.
Yeah, he's one of the best. Jason Statham's 49 years old today. Jeremy Piven's 51. Sandra Bullock is 52 years old. Kevin Spacey, 57 years old. Helen Mirren, a very talented actress, is 71. And Mick Jagger, he's been a rock star longer than most of us have been alive.
Yeah.
73 years old today, singer for the Rolling Stones. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. We have tickets for you to go to New York City to see
New York City!
21 Pilots at Madison Square Garden August 11th.
Get a rope.
21 Pilots has a new song on Suicide Squad called Heathens, and that's the tie-in, and we're going to do a game, but you need to know about Suicide Squad.
Yes.
Less about 21 Pilots, more about Suicide
Squad.
This
is all about the squad.
All right.
It's our game.
Have that information, 1-800-520-1067 is the phone number. You call now, and we'll send somebody to New York next.
Every day this week on the Kevin and Bean Show, I know it's hard to believe. It sounds like we're overstating it, but it's true. Mm. An actual trip for two to New York City to see 21 Pilots at Madison Square Garden. That's what you win. That's not what you qualify to win. That's what you win in the next 5 minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show. That show is August 11th. They have a song on the Suicide Squad soundtrack, and that's why this game is called... What's it called, Ralph?
It's called Suicide Squad!
Suicide Squad is a game that we'll play. And if you win it, well, we'll send you on your way. To New York City, you'll see 21 Pilots. So here's your chance, no need to start a riot. Oh, it's time to play Suicide Squad.
No.
These are the bad dudes, Suicide Squad. It's time to play Suicide Squad. Come on, get down, Suicide Squad.
Hey, that's what he did there. That's nice.
Start a riot.
Airfare, hotel, tickets to the show. Ralph, your contestants are lined up, ready to play. What did they need to know before we go to the first line?
Well, the movie The Suicide Squad features, as you can imagine, members of the DC Comics Suicide Squad. These are bad villains who are taken by a woman named Amanda Waller, and they're put together into this squad of operatives who take on the tough jobs, not because they want to, but because they're threatened with death if they don't. So you get the worst people to do the worst jobs, and you make bad guys into good guys. There are a bunch of famous DC Comics villains in the lineup of the film Suicide Squad.
Suicide Squad!
I will give you a clue, a trivia clue about one of the members, and you just have to tell me what Suicide Squad member we're talking about.
All right. I like it. Let's start with Rosanna in Ontario. Good morning, Rosanna.
Good morning.
Hey, Rosanna. Here's your question. Christopher Weiss created a glue-type substance that could be applied to ropes, making them unbreakable. He embarked upon a life of crime, becoming a villain known as...
Captain Boomerang?
No, I'm sorry. Looking for Slipknot.
Slipknot.
And I assume, I don't know the backstory, but I assume this character is where the band got their name, too, huh?
I don't have the answer to that.
How do you stop everything, Bean? We try to have any kind of forward motion. Just keep doing it in some way. We want to move forward.
Wow. You are a blowout in the fast lane. You really are.
What a buzzkill. All right, let's go to Izzy in Huntington Beach. Hi, Izzy.
Hi.
Hi, Izzy. Here's your question. George Digger Harkness was born and raised in Australia, and he's got a talent for creating sophisticated, high-tech throwing weapons.
Captain Boomerang?
Boom! There you go.
Suicide Squad.
You're absolutely right. You're in the drawing. Hold on.
All right. Next up is Diego in Pomona. Hi, Diego.
Hey, you guys.
Hey, Diego. An artist named June Moon became a sorceress with a power bestowed upon her by the mystical being Zamor. What is her Suicide Squad code name?
I'm just going to shoot a random name. I'm just going to go Raven?
Very close, but no, the Enchantress is her name.
Damn it.
How was that close?
Because Raven is a similar powered superhero, but she's one of the Teen Titans.
All right, that was a good guess. Thank you, Diego.
Come on, one of the Teen Titans, you guys. Get it together.
Let's go to Oscar and Weir. Hi, Oscar.
I wonder if that's where the Tennessee Titans got their name from.
Welcome to the show, Oscar.
Oscar, here's your question. Tatsu Yamashiro trained as a student of the wise samurai master Tadashi, and uses a sword cord called the Soul Taker. Mm. What's her Suicide Squad code name?
Oh, that's an easy one. Wonder Woman.
Oh, that's going to leave a mark.
Sorry, sir. We're looking for Katana. Katana! Katana.
Thank you, Oscar. Yeah,
not Wonder Woman at all.
I liked his level of confidence.
It was impressive.
Next up is Andrew in Covina. Hi there.
Hey, it's me.
Hey, Andrew, it's you. As a criminal psychiatrist assigned to treat the Joker at Arkham Asylum. I'm sorry,
what
happened?
That.
Harley Quinn,
absolutely right, yeah.
Suicide Squad!
Nicely done.
The easiest and most famous of all the Suicide Squad members.
Izzy is in the drawing, as is Andrew. By the way, Margot Robbie, what a perfect choice to play that character. It looks like from the trailers, doesn't it?
Yep. Yeah, absolutely.
Looks fantastic. How many Harley Quinns did you see down at Comic-Con, you guys?
A lot.
Lots of Harley Quinn. Very popular cosplay costume this year.
Guillermo in Monterey Park. Hi.
Hi, good morning.
Hey, Guillermo. Here's your question. Floyd Lawton is a hired assassin, wields a gun on each wrist, and is one of the deadliest men in the DC Comics universe. Deadshot. Absolutely done.
Suicide Squad.
Now we're hitting our, now we got our people. Right?
All right. Next up is Marcel in Montebello. Hi.
Hey. Morning.
Hey, Marcel. Waylon Jones is a man with superhuman strength and scale-like skin that led him to be ridiculed by his family and friends, and because of this, he turned to crime. What's his Suicide Squad code name?
Killer Croc.
Killer Croc.
Suicide Squad.
Done. Now we're on a roll.
Yeah.
I think we got time for one more.
One more.
All right. It will be Jessica in Riverside. Hi, Jessica.
Hi. How are you guys?
Good. Thank you.
Chato Santana is an ex-convict with the ability to control fire and other natural elements. What is he known as in the Suicide Squad? Chato Santana.
Chato Santana.
Chato, Chato,
Chato,
Chato,
Chato,
Santana,
Santana.
Control fire.
Control fire.
And other elements.
And other elements.
I'm just, you don't need to say everything I'm saying.
Trying to help.
Okay. Jessica.
Chato Santana.
All right.
All right.
You can Google on your own time.
He's having none of it today.
He's just not.
El Diablo. El Diablo is what we're looking for. El Diablo.
Izzy,
El
Andrew,
Diablo.
Guillermo, and Marcel,
El
all
Diablo.
In the drawing. We're talking about airfare, hotel, tickets to the show to see 21 Pilots at Madison Square Garden on August the 11th. Dallin McKay, who's our winner, please?
Pack your bags, Izzy.
Izzy. Congratulations, Izzy.
Really?
Yep.
Yes, really. You're going to New York.
Oh, my God.
See 21 Pilots.
Oh, my gosh, you're kidding.
Thanks for playing the game.
Suicide Squad.
I don't know what we're supposed to do here, Bean, but
I know
when a guest shows up from a TV show we love,
but they're so offensive.
Right.
Like when they walk in the door, the minute you see him, you're like, ugh.
Right.
What?
Dude's wearing a Jets hat.
That's
is that a deal breaker?
Why don't you just wear a, why don't you just wear a 9/11 was an inside job shirt? I mean, why don't you just come in with that?
Oh my God. That was too far, Bean.
Really?
All right. Yeah.
Bean took it too far.
Yeah. 10-win season. 10-win season.
Oh, that's cute.
Let's try to push back that with a proper introduction. Give me that theme song, would you, Chip? We're talking about TNT Tuesday nights at 9. That's where you want to be for Animal Kingdom, one of the buzziest shows on television right now, and for good reason. It is just stocked with unbelievable actors, and it's so great. And we're excited to welcome Jake Weary to the show for the first time. He's Darren Cody on the program. Hey, Jake.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
So this Animal Kingdom, man, I mean, look, actors, they always sign up for work that appeals to them and speaks to them, and they just hope it comes out good. But from episode one, I feel like you could tell how much this material was connecting with the audience.
Oh, thanks, man. Yeah, I think, yeah, the a lot happens in the pilot that kind of, you know, sets it the rest of the season up, so you're kind of waiting to see what happens next. So
this is one
funny.
Of those shows that we love so much, but everybody's not watching yet, so we want to keep getting the word out. Getting the word out. So describe for people who haven't seen this show the dynamic of the family and the mom and
your character. it's basically this kind of this unconventional family of, you know, criminals that I like this one review said it was kind of like the SoCal Sopranos. I think that's a good pitch.
Not bad.
Because, you know, like, you know, Ellen Barkin just does a killer job as Smurf, and, you know, she's the matriarch. She's the queen bee. So it's cool seeing, you know, such a, like, powerful female character, too, driving a pretty male-dominant cast.
Yeah.
So I think that's.
But the A-type personalities, I mean, every single son is crazy strong.
Yeah, totally, totally. Well, I mean, yeah, every character is so, is pretty unique in their own way, too. I mean, we're all kind of like brute, you know, criminals, but.
Help me with this, because I'm trying to figure out if I missed it. We know that Pope is her son, for sure.
Yeah.
We know Craig is her son, for sure, because we saw the dad in the last episode.
Uh-huh.
Baz is not.
Baz is not. Baz is the only.
Are you? Because
yeah.
we haven't heard.
Yeah.
How
yeah.
do we know that?
He's here telling
yeah,
us.
Yeah, I'm telling
well,
you.
Well, I know you're telling me. Did I miss something in the show?
No, no, no. Don't worry. You didn't miss anything. It's right. it's definitely we're the blood brothers, so to speak. Are it's me, Pope, and Craig.
That's, right.
We all have different fathers.
Okay.
And Baz is the only non-blood. So
okay.
The,
and Jay is also not family. He was just
Jay is blood nephew.
Jay is blood, yeah. Jay is blood.
Yes, because Pope's twin sister, that's his mom.
Yeah, see? Yeah, there you go.
All right, I'm back. I'm back.
That's it. That's it. That's all you need to know. That's all you need to know.
Jake, I know you get asked this a lot, but the dynamic between Ellen Barkin's mom and her kids.
Yeah.
How do you describe it? It's they're too close to be comfortable for most people. That's how I would describe it.
Super creepy, sexualized, and I'm not sure where it's going. That's how I describe it.
It feels like she's having sex with her family.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it does feel
like. Look, we're all for involved parents, but come on.
I mean, it's 2016.
Are they leading us in that direction, or is that our problem?
That
could be a sick mind.
It could be. But could it also be the show?
Sure. I mean, you know, keep
I can't
keep
tell
watching.
If you're telegraphing that or not, or if I'm just screwed up, and that's what how
I think
I'm interpreting
it. I think it's a good thing. Apparently it's working. So.
All right.
Can you talk about Ellen Barkin for just a minute? Because, look, she's been a great actress for 30 years.
She is.
But I feel like this role is a revelation. I feel like we are seeing her in a way we've never seen her before.
Yeah. I mean,
what's she like to work with?
Yeah, she's amazing, man. I mean, you're right. I mean, she's has this amazing body of work, and it was really cool, actually, you know, when I found out that I got the job, because I had seen her in so much. And I really respect her as an actress, and she's also like my friend now too, which is really cool.
That's
it's like
weird, right?
It's like cool that I get to be like, yeah, like Ellen Barkin's like.
Could you
my
text
own girl,
her right so. Now?
I could text
and
her,
and she would know who you are and respond.
Yeah, man, it's cool.
Imagine?
Yeah,
she's who dis?
She would be. She's
a saint.
Who dis? And the other day, she like texted me back. I was texting with her, and she was like, "Oh my god, you're so cool. You like text like a girl. It's amazing."
Do you do lots of LOLs?
Yeah, I do lots of LOLs, and we send each other like Bitmojis and stuff.
Nice.
Her Bitmojis.
Is it awesome?
It's awesome.
Anyway. This is the voice of actor Jake Weary here on the Kevin DeBean Show. We're talking about Animal Kingdom, TNT, Tuesday nights at 9. What can you tell us, if anything, about how you got the job? Was it just a standard, hey, I'm going to show up and audition for this, or did you have some other way in?
Yeah, it was kind of a standard audition, but the thing is, I was on my way to go shoot a movie that I've been like, you know, clawing and scratching for like a month, and I got that movie, and I had a plane out to Vancouver to go shoot the movie like the day before I got this audition, and I didn't even want to go in on it. I didn't even have time to like read the script because I was so caught up in doing this movie. Yeah,
right.
And I was like, you know, and it was a movie that like I was like. Like, as soon as I booked it, I was so hyped on it that this, like, weird, like, overconfidence kind of, like, stepped in, like sunk in, and it was,
You're like, I don't need that TV show.
Yeah, I was like, what is it?
Started landing job after job.
TV, I could do any movies forever.
I'll
make
you a favor,
no money.
Stop by. How did you then get involved?
And then I auditioned. My agent called me back and was like, hey, like, listen, like, this is a good script. Just take a look at the script and go in. And I did, and I loved it. I thought it was really cool that they were adapting this awesome movie that I had actually seen before.
It's an Australian movie.
Australian film by David Michaud, and it was I loved the idea that it was going to be adapted, and especially by John Wells, because I love Shameless. I was a big Shameless fan. And I went in, and I did the audition, and it was the callback, so I'd already done one audition. I came back in, and I was literally getting on a plane the next day, and John Wells, after the audition, he's like, so I hear you're going up to do a movie. And I'm like at the door, and I'm like, yeah, I'm gonna go up to Vancouver for like a month. I'm gonna go shoot this movie, and I'm gonna come back down, and I'm gonna shoot this.
Ew.
And there's this like weird like
you
Braggadocio
said shoot,
that like came out of nowhere, and I was like, who am I?
You
what was
I'm
that?
You said that's I'm gonna never.
You were Darren Cody, is what
you
were.
It was just so, like...
That was before he told you had the job.
Yeah, man, that was before I found out I had the job, and I thought I was so, like, cool and badass.
So
but it was
Jedi mind-tricked him.
I think I did, because I think it worked. Yeah.
What did he say to that?
He did. No one, no. Like I thought I was gonna get a laugh at least or something. But they all kind of just like gave me this like look,
what a
like
dick.
Yeah, like what a dick.
Do we
like,
want this guy?
Did
on
he
set?
Literally just say that? Like, but I yeah, and I laughed and I was like, oh man, Oh, I got that. I know it. I know.
That's awesome. All right, we got to take a quick break, Jake. I'm sorry.
Cool. Yeah, no worries.
Animal Kingdom is a show. We have much more to talk about with our guest right after this in the world famous K-Rock. Actor Jake Weary in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show from TMT's Animal Kingdom airs tonight at 9. I think I can't tell, Allie, where you guys are going to be mortal enemies for the rest of your life or are falling very deeply in love.
Listen,
with something.
Listen, we were working it out.
You were working it out.
And then he brought up Brady and then did the fakest. What did you say exactly?
I felt like
it was genuine.
It was so genuine.
I said it's unfortunate, you know, that Brady's out for four games. I hate to see that happen.
Right.
It's just one of those things. Yeah.
Don't put your hands under your chin like you're adorable.
You cheat and you get caught.
Well, right. He didn't
and
cheat.
You have to, you
he's
know,
being
you
made
pay
an example
he
by should, Goodell. And
he should know that's
you
the
and
risk.
I both know
he should
that.
Know that's the risk.
Right.
Yeah.
Butt fumble.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Once again, we can't talk about football. Hey, last week was a huge, huge episode for your boy on Animal Kingdom. I think we've got a scene. Apparently, you and Adrian have been getting closer and closer, and now it's kind of out in the open. Let's hear this from Animal Kingdom.
What's up? Where's Adrian?
I don't know. He took off.
Who cares?
I don't give a f- to have sex with, man. Why do you think I invited him?
I don't want to talk about this either, but just don't be an asshole. Adrian's a good guy, and this is embarrassing.
Does everybody know?
No, man.
So who knows that Darren is gay?
Craig.
Craig, yeah.
Do you think Smurf knows?
I mean, it's kind of a mother knows all situation, yeah. I would mm-hmm. say. I mean, I don't even know, to tell you the truth. I mean, as the season progresses, I only know what's happening a week before we shoot.
So. Oh, really?
How do you play this hyper-masculine Cody guy? All the brothers are so hyper-masculine.
Yeah.
And then you're hiding this closeted, all these feelings. Mm-hmm. But then you have these moments with Adrian that are so tender and so beautiful. And then flips a switch and you're back to being just cuckoo Darren.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think that's definitely... I mean, that's part of the reason why I really wanted to play this person, too. I mean, it's something that definitely... more than you'd think a lot of people are going through on a daily basis. And sure. It's just, you know.
So you knew from the beginning?
I did. I mean, I don't know. There was a description in the audition that alluded to the fact that this character was struggling with some, you know, with his sexuality. So, yeah, there definitely was. And they kind of, they lightly graze on it in the movie. It's so, I mean, if you blink, you'd miss it, but it's there, and I kind of...
You do a little more than lightly graze.
Well, they got a lot more hours to fill, too.
A little more.
A little more.
How do you think the family is going to react? I mean, they're obviously so close, like you said, blood brothers. I mean, I would think love is love, but who knows with this group, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I think I'm...
I assume this group is not going to be happy about
that. Well, Craig's already been super wonderful and open about it, saying, be yourself, Adrian's a good guy. I think Craig would have been the toughest sell.
Oh, that's possible, yeah.
Yeah.
How many episodes are there?
10.
And you're on... Tonight is 8?
Tonight is 8, yeah. Absolutely.
Okay, so we have 3 episodes left, including tonight.
And Baz has no way that he should even be judging anybody with his second family hidden away.
Yeah, he's
yeah,
got
screw
some,
you, Baz.
Yeah, Baz.
Yeah.
You know, you're talking to a fictional character now.
I do. Thank you.
Just checking.
Oh, God, I wish I could say the same about Tom Brady.
Oh, I was sticking up for
no,
you,
I know,
Shane,
no, I know.
And
cool.
Then you just knocked cool. me down.
You know, that's Jets fans. We don't stop. We never stop. We just keep it going.
Well, you stopped right before the playoffs.
Boom!
Oh. What? Let's do this, Jake!
Drop the mic!
That was good. That was good.
You're welcome.
That was good.
Does it suck to have butt fumble for... I mean, it feels like that's just a conversation ender. Like, you can talk smack as much as you want. Same
but
with
you can't come back from butt fumble.
Same with Seattle in the Super Bowl, by the way, with the interception. Same
yeah.
thing.
I mean, it's not, though.
I mean, but it is.
You know, it's pretty... Let's not talk about it. Let's move on.
Oh, I see.
Oh, it's not good for your narrative right
now. I see how
okay,
that works.
Got it.
Well, listen, Jake, we already have a couple more minutes. Could I want to go backwards a little bit before Animal Kingdom. Both your parents were actors.
Yes, yeah.
Is that why you became an actor? Is just because you grew up around it and were fascinated with it, do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think it definitely played a big part. I was always kind of on set growing up, and I had always been interested in how, you know, a film production works, and, you know.
Do they urge you to go forward with it or try to talk you out of it when you express an interest in wanting to go into their field?
I definitely think they kind of kept me at bay for a bit. They definitely wanted me to be like a normal kid, and you know, I think it was like my 14th birthday when I was finally like, all right, enough. Like, let me get an agent or something.
Oh, really? Like, you
it was, like, my birthday, and I wanted an agent. I wanted headshots. I wanted to start auditioning and all that stuff. So it was definitely... Like,
what was the first professional gig you got?
The first professional gig
so
I got...
You excited because you landed...
It was Law & Order. I mean...
Oh. Wow.
It was an episode
Shane
of Law
Madden.
& Order.
Yeah, how old were you?
I was like 14 or something. And it was like a whole episode, like around me. It was like
Did you murder?
No.
Sorry to disappoint you, Allie.
I know.
It was.
I
got my principal pregnant. Which was,
what?
Yes.
All right.
Yeah, it was,
you must
when
have been
you were 14.
Yeah.
Was she
you
a younger
on the
principal
show.
Or
on the show? Right.
She was younger. She was pretty. She was cute.
So when you went back to high school,
took a turn that I'm into.
Take it easy.
When you went back to your high school the next day, I mean, were you a baller in that school?
No,
you
I actually
your teacher
got
pregnant.
No, I was bullied. I was so bullied.
What?
Man.
Really?
Yeah, like.
But
all
you
the,
were on a TV show.
I know, but all these kids. I dyed my hair and everything, and like kids were like, "Man, like, this kid's like an actor. He's like dyeing his hair. Like, man, he's like such a loser."
Well, I didn't know you did impressions too. This guy can do everything.
I did. There was a lot of cyberbullying because it was like right when like Facebook came out, and it was just all these kids like who were, you know, too afraid to say anything in my face, just like got online.
I feel like booking something that early in your life screws you in the way that if you go to Vegas for the first time and win big.
Yeah,
like now it's all that matters, and you need to continue that and keep going back. And it really does it help?
No, it doesn't, man. I mean, because you kind of it's they're both ends because all of a sudden you're taken more seriously. I mean, there's more responsibility because all of a sudden you're like a professional.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's also the aspect in that like your peers and your friends are like, well, you're different than us now because you're like 14 and you're like working and we're like, you know, still like, yeah. And I'm like, no, man. And I like stopped. I like gave it up and I like started playing football. And like,
because you were afraid of losing your friends?
Yeah, because I wanted like my, you know, my friends. And like, I want to stay in school, you know, stay in school. Hey,
we're back,
that's stay in school.
You're back.
Aww.
That's a tough balance for a person of that age to try to navigate between both worlds.
Yeah, it was
and having two parents that are successful actors. That couldn't be easy either.
Yeah, no, definitely.
Well, it's worked out for you. Hey, before you go, you talked a lot about that movie that you were so hyped for. You made it in Vancouver. What's that called? When's it coming out?
It's called Tomato Red, and it's based on a Daniel Woodrell novel. He wrote Winter's Bone, so it's adapted by Juanita Wilson. She's an incredible Irish director, and
that's this year though, Jake.
This year or potentially beginning of next year, it'll be out. So
Well, we'll look for that. Tomato Red and three more episodes of Animal Kingdom for season one, and of course, it immediately got picked up for season two right when it debuted. So we know you're going to be back, and you got a lot of stories to tell. You guys are doing outstanding work
Thank
over there
you.
On that
Thank
show. Congratulations,
so much.
Seriously.
I really appreciate it. Thank you guys for having me.
Yeah,
it's
nice to meet
awesome.
You.
Jets.
Jets. Go Jets.
Well, 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 7:53.
Ralph, how much are we going to love the Bachelorette report today?
Oh, boy.
A lot of ground to cover, I know.
There is love's in the air.
Yeah.
And it's in the sand, and it's in the dirt. It's in a gravel road. It's everywhere on that show.
It's in the back of somebody's swimsuit.
And then tonight, the men tell all, which means Chad's coming back.
Oh, no.
Chad wants to beat everybody up. Oh, yeah. There's one guy takes off his jacket and threatens to fight him there on the stage.
All right.
So much goodness. So much goodness.
We got a lot to talk about with Petros Papadakis when he joins us for the Bachelorette Report coming right up after the top of the hour. First, though, time for the showbiz news. Here's Ralph.
It's official. I have reached full capacity. I have had an ass full of Pokemon Go. There's no more room in my ass.
Really?
For any more Pokemons.
I bet there's a little room.
I caught them all.
Oh.
In my ass.
Oh, okay.
Wow, I didn't realize that's how you play the game.
That's how you play the game. By the way, a little piece of trivia. Did you know on one day in 1998, to mark Pokemon's U.S. debut in 1998, Topeka, Kansas renamed itself to Topikachu, Kansas? That happened. We should have known then. Why didn't we know then? In 1998, we should have put a moratorium.
That's a pretty solid heads up.
Right? That's an indicator.
Right.
That's patient zero right there. That's when you call in the CDC and you go into quarantine. Topikachu, Kansas.
Why are you bad, America?
Indeed, America. Well, it's not just America. Apparently, it's France, too. Beyonce played Paris, France last week, and there was a woman in the front row of a Beyonce concert. And listen, I'm not the biggest Beyonce fan in the world. I can recognize her talent from afar. But were I to go to a Beyonce concert and be lucky enough to have front row seats, you can be goddamn sure I'd be watching her on stage.
You would think, right?
Doing what she does, which is remarkable.
Right. Why go if that's not why you're there?
You know what I would not be doing? Playing Pokemon Go on my phone. Looking for Diglets on stage.
That does seem bad.
A Diglett? Is that real?
You heard me.
Oh.
But there was a woman with her phone out playing Pokemon Go while Beyonce was on stage. Luckily for us, there was a man behind her videotaping her playing Pokemon Go while Beyonce was on stage. So he, too, by the way, not watching Beyonce on stage. He was so infuriated by the woman's behavior.
He was mad that she was playing Pokemon.
Yes. But we're lucky enough to have the audio from that video if you'd like to hear
his
reaction. And I think he speaks for all of us.
This chick is finding Pokemon. She's finding Pokemon when Beyonce sings. Pokemon! Look at where she is! Look at where she is! She's next to the stage! This is a stage. This bitch is finding Pokemon.
He could not believe his eyes.
That's not distracting at all for the people sitting around them.
No, not at all.
Her playing Pokemon, him yelling.
She's the bitch is playing Pokemon.
How about both of you leave and let us enjoy the concert?
Yeah, it's nuts.
I don't get that either, guys.
Yeah, I don't either.
Rihanna, by the way, told fans Saturday night in Rhode Island, "I don't want to see you texting your boyfriends or girlfriends during the show." Then she added from stage, "I don't want to see you catching any Pokemons up in this bitch." So she laid down the law, which is sweet. By the way, did you hear Rihanna's playing Marion Crane in the season finale of Bates Motel?
Meaning Girl in the Shower, right?
Yeah. No.
You remember in the famous film Psycho?
Yeah.
Marion Crane, played by Janet Leigh, checks into the Bates Motel when she's on the run from the law. And
right.
She runs into a gentleman named Norman Bates there who has an interesting relationship with his mother. And she doesn't fare so well showering one night. In the room. And apparently, Rihanna has been tapped to play that role in the TV series as they wrap things up. I kind of knew once, spoilers, Mrs. Bates ended up on the couch, not doing so well, not feeling so well.
Right.
maybe it was going to be the end of that series. Maybe they're going to start wrapping up that whole prequel leading up
to the story. I feel
like
you have to.
I think the story is pretty much over
at that point.
Hey, congratulations to our buddy Andy Dick. He is currently in midst of his 20th stint in rehab.
Oh, wow.
I just read an article the other day talking about how he'd been sober for a year and a half and it couldn't be going any better.
And he was the face of a new rehab and he was doing it for free because he just wanted to talk about it.
Well, that's what I said.
Yeah. But you just said he's in the midst of his 20th rehab.
Right. He is.
He's not back in rehab, is he?
It's an ongoing thing. He's in an outpatient treatment recovery rehab center called SOBA.
Oh, okay. So
he's been there for a year and a half.
Okay.
All right. He's in the midst of his 20th go-round with recovery and rehab.
I'm sorry. I misunderstood. I thought you meant he had fallen off the wagon again. So he's still good. That's great.
Phew.
I didn't say he fell off the wagon.
No, but you said rehab, and that made us think he fell
but
off the wagon.
But he's been in this rehab for a year and a half. It's an ongoing thing. You don't just go and then – he doesn't anyway. You just don't go for a weekend and say, oh, I'm much better now, and then take off. He's been in the midst of this recovery program in this rehab called SOBA for a year and a half.
I'd love to get Andy back on and talk to him. I love that guy.
I do, too. And he says that he's sort of become an unofficial staff member because he helps other people who are currently in the program deal with their sobriety and their recovery. And he says it's been a year and a half, and he's loving it. He's loving it, paying it forward, and trying to help other people as he himself stay sober. So, but if the point was, if this is his 20th go-round with a rehab facility.
Wow.
And this one, for a year and a half at least, seems to be working.
The fact that we live in a world where Andy Dick and Steve-O are both alive and healthy makes me so happy, because I would not have guaranteed either of those still being around in 2016.
Yeah, it's true. They have pushed the envelope, to say the least. And Harry Potter fans, rejoice. Saturday at the Palace Theatre in London is the official opening of Harry Potter and the Cursed Child, Parts 1 and 2. Things are going so well, producers said to critics it's okay for them to release their reviews early. You rarely get that kind of permission. Usually they wait until opening night before you're allowed to review a stage show. And the reviews are spectacular. New York Times says, the magic is practiced so effectively and entertaining in The Cursed Child that turns everyone in the audience into a sorcerer's apprentice. Variety calls it quite simply spellbinding. The show lived up to everyone's expectations and then some.
That doesn't ever happen.
No.
Mm-mm.
It's
wow.
just been rave reviews across the board for this show.
Because imagine the expectations for
right?
this.
Right?
Oh, sure.
Through the roof.
So,
wow, great.
Wall Street Journal. For those who grew up on and with Harry Potter, it will revive a powerful addiction to Ms. Rowland's brand of poignant truth. So everyone is saying it's just terrific. And if you're a Potter fan, you're going to want to see this.
Would but you still it, won't Kevin? Write any more books.
I'll totally see it, yeah.
I like that about
yeah,
you.
I will. I love Harry Potter.
I don't know. She has said no, but she's been dabbling in and out since she said no quite a bit. So maybe there's another
including story. Writing this play, by the way.
Well, she did not write it, but she was participated in the story, the creation of the storyline at least. But
so it's not like she's sick of Potter. She just won't give the people what they want, which is more books that they can then make movies out of.
Take it easy. She's not your slave, Bean.
Calm down.
Your lord.
Do what I say. I said right. I command you to create. What's wrong with you? Wear those bean goggles. Can we put those on them?
We need them more than ever.
Love the passion.
Right?
Today's celebrity birthday is Taylor Momsen's 23 years old today. Actress Kate Beckinsale celebrates her 43rd birthday. Speaking of The Bachelor, host of that program, Chris Harrison, is 45 years old. Actor Jason Statham's 49. Jeremy Piven's 51. Sandra Bullock's 52. Kevin Spacey turns 57. Helen Mirren. Very lovely and talented actress, is 71. And a legendary frontman, Rolling Stones singer Mick Jagger, turned 73 years old today. How about him? How about the condition that guy's in?
Right? How about just the fact that he's still alive?
And they say
Didn't
he trains...
Didn't he just have a baby?
He just had his 8th baby, yep.
Yeah.
Jagger, they say, trains like an Olympic athlete.
Is that right?
No booze, no more cigarettes, no red meat...
No hanging out with Keith Richards?
Strict vegetarian. Trains.
Really?
For hours every day, running, lifting weights. I mean, they say he's in the best shape of his life.
It shows on stage, even at this age, when you see him, you can't believe. I mean,
well, their shows are like 2 hours long, right?
Yeah. It's insane.
Two or more, yeah. But you watch the first song and you go, most singers would already be on an oxygen tent at this point.
Yeah. It's nuts. And a little disappointing. Get back to drugs. Please, Mick. We need you. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show as being. Hey!
Yeah, that one needed it.
Yeah, it did.
Right?
Right.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:08.
By the way, this hour tomorrow, right here on the Kevin and Bean Show, that hunky third baseman for the Los Angeles Dodgers, Justin Turner, is going to be joining us, so that's going to be a lot of fun. First, though, it's Tuesday, and I think you know what that means. It's time for the Bachelorette Report. Hit it, Steve.
Well, his name is Ralph Garman, and he loves the Bachelorette. Yeah. With Petros Papadakis always watching it. Yeah. Watching dumb dudes without any regrets. It's the report on the Bachelorette.
Ow! Woo! What's up, P?
Guys, how you doing?
Petros?
Are you committed to that beard you're wearing right now?
Only till Friday. We have an event at a brewery, so I thought I could try to get like a top knot or a man bun and like a hipster beard going by the time I get to the small batch brewing endeavor at Phantom Carriage on Friday at 2 o'clock. in Carson.
Will you be wearing clam diggers?
Yeah, maybe. I'm going to try to get the tightest pants possible that need to be removed with turpentine and a metal steel wool rag.
Maybe you can borrow some from Jordan Rogers.
What is going on? I don't know. Maybe I'm just old. I don't know. But why do single men wear such tight pants today?
Last night on The Bachelorette, every guy was wearing, like, the peg-legged clam digger pants.
It's amazing.
It was.
Like, it might take her like an hour and a half to peel those off in the fantasy suite.
Right. It's a lot of work. Let's get right into it. The end of last week's episode was a cliffhanger. It was to be continued because she had already announced she was going to let Luke go home because he never said, I love you. And then he pulled her aside there in the aircraft hangar where she was doing the rose ceremony just before the ceremony and said, you know, I forgot to tell you. I love you.
I forgot to tell you that.
Oh, dear.
And that threw a spanner into the works, as they say. She was confused. She was distraught. She was crying, squatting on the tarmac in her spandex dress.
Convulsing on the tarmac.
So we knew there was going to be a big change-up in the rose ceremony. Who would go home? We thought it might be Luke, but now Luke said, I love you. It's going to change everything.
Mm.
Nope, not a bit. She gave Luke the boot. Apparently it was too little, too late, as we saw at the beginning of last night's episode. And Luke was... I felt bad for Luke because as a former Marine, he looked like he had PTSD. Yeah, he looked like he was just... shocked and dismayed by her decision.
He had the 1,000-yard stare from 10 yards.
He absolutely did. Here, she felt so bad. Here she is apologizing.
I don't know how to say goodbye to you.
I don't either. It's not supposed to happen, and it is. Like, this is not supposed to be happening.
I think it is supposed to be happening,
I
Luke.
Feel like it is.
And I believe she knows how to say goodbye to him, too.
Yeah,
because she said, goodbye, leave.
It was a very Platoon moment. He was very Willem Dafoe on his knees in the Vietnamese jungle there at the end.
Yeah, it was very scary.
Now, let me ask you this, Pete, because we were talking to Ralph about this earlier today. Do you believe sincerely that JoJo has strong feelings for all four of these guys and everyone that she says goodbye to is heart-wrenching at this point?
No. I think her crying is fake. I think her chest is fake. I think her nose is fake.
Oh,
I think
Pete.
Texas is fake. I think the guys wear more revealing clothes this season than JoJo. I think JoJo is a bust as the Bachelorette, and that's why the storyline has been everything but JoJo.
You are
interesting.
Awful.
You asked me a question. I answered it.
Why do you hate love?
I'm a bitter person. I'm ugly, and I have a terrible beard.
You're not here for the right reasons. I think that's the problem.
I've never been here for the right reasons, and that's what dumbfounds me about the shift in attitude about this show.
Then the three of remaining gentlemen go on their overnights, their fantasy dates. With JoJo, so they can spend intimate time together. Petros.
Peeling the pants off and having sex.
No.
Where did they go, though, Ralph?
They were in Thailand.
The place for sanctioned sex.
They were in Thailand, a lovely country full of temples and reverence and spirituality. And they were staying at the lovely Marriott Thailand, too, by the way, which I think the budget must have been cut this season because I've seen nicer hotels in Pacoima than where they were staying last night.
Well, that sounds like a real authentic Thai experience at the Marriott.
Yeah, in Thai, Marriott means sex for money.
No, it doesn't at all. Robbie went on a lovely day with her, and then, of course, that moment comes where they get the choice either to go back to their separate suites or to spend the evening together in the fantasy suite.
Mm-hmm.
And Robbie and his weird toupee looking head of hair.
Sewn on Cupid doll.
He was very excited to get the card.
JoJo gives me the fantasy suite card, and now I don't have to dream about JoJo anymore. I get to dream with JoJo.
Yes. Yeah,
how romantic.
I don't have to dream about her, I get to dream with her.
Yeah, he sounded like Freddy Krueger.
He is a little creepy, this Robbie.
He didn't sound like he was happy.
You know
what they did? They made every reference possible, like subtly with the cameras and what they said to that they were going to have sex. And then they gave him the old do not disturb, you know, hand on the knob.
Sure.
Right.
Don't you bring cameras in here. It's about to go down.
Well, no, they show him the door and he puts the do not disturb sign on the outside and they close the door to the camera. And we know that there's intimate conversation going on inside.
Well, when P said hand on the knob, I was concerned about whether we have to drop that or not.
The next date is with Jordan Rogers. Where's Aaron? Shh, we don't talk about it.
That's a good summary.
And they were walking around the beautiful caves of Thailand when they came across a temple, a sacred temple.
Mm-hmm.
And so JoJo had to put a shirt on because you don't want boobies in a sacred temple.
Yeah, cover up, Jojo. You're already dressed like a freaking nun.
And you're also not allowed to have to be making out and pawing each other at one of these temples, which really caused Jojo a lot of dismay.
Inside of a cave, there is this temple, and temples are very sacred here. So it'll be such a beautiful sight to see, but there is no kissing inside the temple. And I want to respect the culture, and I know how sacred these temples are. But it kind of sucks. Like, I can't help myself when I'm around Jordan.
What, for 5 minutes you can't stop pawing the guy while you're in a sacred temple? How hard is that?
She can't help it, Ralph.
What's Sunday church service going to be like at home when they get married? You're going to be, humping in the pews while the preacher's up there? Show some restraint, Jojo. Jojo's your girl,
herself.
Ralph.
She's a pig.
Stop it. And, of course, third date was with Chase. Chase, who I like to refer to as the human propofol. Chase, the sleepy-eyed bag of sand who they put in tight pants and pretend he's a person.
His pants fit better than anybody else's, though.
They go on a magical Saipan ride, or whatever those boats are called there in Thailand when they're cruising around the beaches, and Chase cannot believe his luck.
Just the small talk, the chatter, the feel, the touch, the connection, it's all there. I mean, it's all there, and we're in this magical place. With monkeys and fishermen, salt water and fish.
All the romantic elements, the monkeys, the fishermen, the salt water, and the fish.
No.
How do you start with monkeys?
Is that my guy?
That's pretty sweet.
Yeah. They had a nice shot of a monkey that was really charming and great, except he was like above a giant pile of trash on a river.
Yeah, I don't want to go to Thailand after watching last night.
It was a filthy date, but you know what? I got to be honest, Ralph. I think Chase got done dirtier than anybody in the history of the show.
What?
Well, no. Let's talk about the moment when they decide to go to the fantasy suite.
All right.
Okay? They make the choice. They're going to spend the night together. So they go to the fantasy suite, and before the boning starts, Chase decides it's time for him to truly open up. He's been a little closed off during this whole process. He's going to tell her how he really feels. And he looks deep into her eyes and says, I need you to know that I am in love with you.
Oh, no.
And after that moment, this actually happened.
Can you hold on 1 minute?
What?
Be right back.
She gets up. She walks out
I'll
the open
here.
Door. She leaves the room.
She left?
What?
She left the room.
Oh, my God. That's not the reaction you're hoping for.
Oh,
not at all.
No.
She left.
Yes.
But, you know, you're in Thailand, so you're thinking, like, maybe she has to blow it out, you know. There's a lot of we've been eating a lot of different foods. Yeah. You know, some of the shower water might have gotten in her mouth. I mean, he's still got the
Come on, Petros.
But
people
no,
are eating.
But no, P, she stepped outside because it struck her when he said, I love you. That she is not all that interested in this
no!
dude.
Wow. So did she kick him off?
She comes back into the fantasy suite and says, I don't think really you should stay here tonight. I don't think we should do this. It's probably best if you just go.
Wow.
He took it well, though.
He did not take it well. He got very upset. And she sent him home in the fantasy suite. I don't think it's ever happened before, right?
No, no one's ever been invited into somebody's threshold, so to speak.
Yes.
And then rebuffed or rebuked, you know, right at the moment of entry. I mean, I liken this to the Basic Instinct scene right at the beginning where it's going so well for that guy.
Yes.
And then it's going so poorly.
Yes, indeed. So now we're down to two. It's just Jordan and Creepy Robbie.
So did somebody get knocked out?
And, of course, that means in our office pool here that Chip is the winner. She's the last remaining player with Jordan Rogers.
I hate him so much, though.
It's such a shame that we didn't put money on it, though, right?
Right. There's no sadly, she
kind of a
nothing.
Hollow victory.
She wins
right?
nothing
she
except
won.
Bragging rights.
Right.
But,
that's a shame.
All right. So how many episodes left, Ralph?
Well,
by the way, tonight.
Tonight, Men Tell All.
Okay. Now, do we have P tomorrow? Is he on to recap the Mentel and all?
P, you willing?
Yeah, what do I have to do? I mean, come on.
Chad's back, P. Chad's back. Fireworks tonight, right?
And then next week, we got the finish, and then they're gonna swoop us right into the BIP.
I know.
That's for paradise.
So we might just keep it. We might not have to say goodbye for the summer.
Now, Ralph still loves Bachelor in Paradise. I feel like you have soured on The Bachelorette. Are you still willing to go into BIP with an open mind, P?
No, I've soured on all this. I will do it, but my mind is closed. Like,
wow.
Like I don't know, some kind of like horrible medieval
really closed.
Something that isn't open.
Yeah, I was going to make a reference that wasn't appropriate.
Okay, good.
Hey, Patrick, right. I do want to remind you, today is Chris Harrison's birthday. If you wanted to shout out, give him a special message or shout out.
You know, it takes him so long to open the cards with those little hands.
See, I gave you an opportunity to be nice, and that's what you do with it.
All morning, he's just working on a Hallmark card, just trying to open that thing. Let's get him a letter opener.
Oh, Petros and Buddy. Weekday afternoons, AM 570, LA Sports. We'll talk to you tomorrow, Pete. Thanks for coming on, buddy.
Abierto.
Watching dumb dudes without any regrets. It's the report on The Bachelorette.
Ow! You do or do not watch the news, Kevin?
I don't watch the news because I'm a kid.
That's right. I knew there was something going on. You are missing out on what an S show both of these political party conventions are turning out to be this year. Well, look, here's the thing. The Republicans in Cleveland last week, the Democrats in Philadelphia all this week. They've never – look, I could be wrong. There will be going to be historians out there who will say this is not a correct statement. But in my lifetime, I don't remember two candidates that are less liked by their own parties than the two individuals that are on the ballot for president. Am I wrong about that to you guys? It seems that way, right?
I understand the Donald Trump thing, but why the Hillary Clinton? I don't –
because she's awful.
Corruption, Benghazi. Great, but... I mean, a ton of things.
So a lot of people that are Democrats do not like the fact that she's running. Okay.
I had always, you know, heard growing up, oh, you got to vote for the lesser of two evils. And I never quite got it until this election.
Sure is it.
I'm like, oh, well, there it is. Evil and eviler.
I think a lot of us are going to be pulling the lever and holding our nose with the other hand because it's just terrible, terrible choices. And this year in particular because on the Democratic side, a lot of people fell in love with Senator Sanders. He didn't just present himself as an alternative to Hillary. He presented himself as a new kind of politician who was really connecting with people, particularly young people. And these Sanders people are not – they're not at all interested in voting for Hillary Clinton. Not at all.
Which is what this is supposed to happen here,
right? That's what this is supposed to happen.
Well, they weren't into voting for Hillary from the get-go.
Right.
But now with the WikiLeaks and all of that that came out, this kind of gives them redemption. Like, we knew it was rigged. So, see, we're telling you, she's awful. We can't do it. So it gives them kind of a leg to stand on now.
So this first piece of tape, Allie, I had not tuned in yet. What did I miss? I guess I missed one of the first boo downs.
Yes, the first
boo down.
Yeah, she's a congresswoman from Ohio. She is also one of the DNC chairs. Her name is Marsha Fudge. And she was just getting up, wanted to say, hey, we've got to unite as a party. And it didn't go well.
Hillary Clinton and Tim Kaine want to build an economy that works for everyone, not just the people at the top. An economy where everyone pays their fair share. An economy where if you work hard, you can get ahead and stay ahead. Hillary Clinton and Tim Kaine want to bring steady and stable leadership to the world.
Every time her name is mentioned. Huge
at her own convention.
May I just make a point? There are many of you that do not know me in this room.
But we
hate
you.
Let me say to you, I intend to be fair. I want to hear the varying opinions here. I am going to be respectful of you. And I want you to be respectful of me.
Nope.
I don't know. It sounded like it turned around there.
It was cheers and also booze.
Okay.
It was
listen
insane.
To how hostile that crowd is. Again, these are all Democrats. These are delegates that are there to vote for their candidate. And they can't even stomach it.
There were people holding Bernie signs with tape over their mouths. Shots of Susan Sarandon in the crowd. Just so over it. Just.
Wow. And Bernie reached out via text to all of his delegates yesterday and said, look, as a personal favor to me, could you please behave and not boo? I mean, he's begging them to try to get some unity going. All right. So Sarah Silverman at one point gets up. I don't know why.
What's she doing there?
Well, she was brought in to unite. She's a huge Bernie backer.
Oh, okay.
And she
has been for a long time.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, she's on stage with Al Franken, who, believe it or not, and you'd never know this from watching last night, used to be a comedian, used to be funny, used to be on Saturday Night Live. He has lost every bit of that ability.
Oh, no.
You've never seen a more boring, dull guy on stage. Like, he is wonked out. So they're on stage, and Sarah has just done this passionate plea for the Bernie supporters to come over to the side and defeat Donald Trump by voting for Hillary Clinton. And the place is just going crazy. I really thought they were going to have to turn this car around and go home because this is what it sounded like.
Hillary.
So they're chanting. Some of them are chanting Hillary, right?
Mm-hmm.
Some of them are chanting Bernie.
Mm-hmm.
And Sarah decides she's going to try to get a unity chant going. And they're failing at all three.
People, you're being ridiculous.
And that was one of the sound bites of the night, which
absolutely.
She pointed out, come on, grow the F up. Look, your guy lost, and now we have to unite the party. That was the plan. That was what they were supposed
to be. Imagine being on stage in front of that many hostile people.
Yes. Yes.
Wow.
And then finally, and this was maybe my favorite moment of the night, is Sarah, I thought she gave a very good speech, by the way, a very compelling speech. But at some point, she got the signal, and Kevin, we've been there, it's time to cut the speech short because we're out of schedule and we're going to bring out our next act, who, by the way, was 85-year-old Paul Simon singing Bridge Over Troubled Water.
That was what
they needed to rush Sarah off the stage for.
Wow.
Now, Al Franken, the least funny man in the world, and Sarah Silverman, who's very funny, have to stall. They're being told to just vamp.
Okay? They told her to cut her speech short to get to him.
Yes.
And now they're stretching.
Oh,
and
that's the worst.
It's so uncomfortable, you guys.
They made me cut off my speech, and now we have to stretch. Oh, I have so much I want to say.
Well, okay, you know... What? Listen to that. Listen to what you did.
Yep.
This is a comedian. This is the power of comedy.
Thank God they can fix this in post.
Okay, they didn't fix it in post.
This is airing live.
All these Bernie people are just chanting, and these poor guys are just standing on stage going, what are we supposed to do? Are we supposed to keep talking? And it just goes on.
Oh, my God.
You know, we,
at least Al's sharp off the top of his head.
We have been...
He's dynamic.
I want to thank you because Sarah and I have been asked to stretch because we are about to introduce someone that we're both huge fans of.
Right? I can tell.
He's not here
yet.
How
are we doing, guys?
I was literally yelling, do Stuart Smalley!
How are we doing?
He probably doesn't remember that character.
My God.
How are we doing, guys? We close? All right. Wait till you hear former professional comedian Al Franken the way he decides to introduce their guest.
Well, we'll see.
You won't even believe it.
You know, Sarah, what I love about us both being here is that, you know, you know, it's like we're a bridge.
How do you figure that out? How do you figure that we're a bridge?
Well, you were for Bernie.
Right.
I'm for Hillary, so we are like a bridge.
Here it comes.
Over troubled
water.
Oh, good Lord. Are they ready? Ladies and gentlemen.
Wow.
Mr. Paul Simon.
Okay, so
that is the right response from Sarah Silverman.
Yeah. Oh, good Lord.
Oh, good Lord.
Good Lord.
All right, so Allie, you made an outstanding point right after Paul Simon comes out. So the whole point of this entire exercise is Bernie people, Hillary people, let's get together.
Right.
Okay?
Yet you couldn't get Art Garfunkel up there for the duet.
Right?
We're all about unity, but we couldn't get him to sing his goddamn parts. And we had to listen to Paul Simon
wheeze his way through
song.
A song he wrote,
it
but has no
horrible.
Business trying to sing.
They hate each other, right?
They do.
Oh,
yeah, they'll never talk again. So the point is, like Ali says, it's about unity, yet you just send out one guy because the other guy won't even take his calls anymore.
Worst.
I'm telling you, this was only night one, Kevin, and I know you hate the news,
I
but
do.
It's it just
so
bad
good.
Enough that I think you might enjoy it.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It is 8:54. We went to Comic-Con this past weekend. There are a bunch of videos up at kevinandbean.com, krock.com. Doug Benson and I in the Viceland bus.
Vice bus.
The Vice bus.
I'm going to Vice bus 20 miles. I could have V815.
Interviewing people on the Comic-Con floor. And also Zachary Levi gives us a tour of Nerd HQ. So that is all up at kevinandbean.com if you'd like to check that out.
Got a little bit
so
of a crush.
So much going on.
A little bit of a crush
over
on that,
the weekend.
Zach Levi.
So a lot of you are just probably driving back from Comic-Con from San Diego. Hope everyone's driving safe and keeping it together.
Okay. Keep it together, you guys, if you're out there driving, all right?
Were you saying
from Rodney.
Kevin has a crush on Zachary Levi, or you?
Me.
Yeah. I think everyone in this room.
Because when you said, I thought you were talking about me, and I was accepting that as well.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
No, he's mine. Get off. Okay. Get away.
All right. He's so likable.
Get really away. Is, yeah. He's mine.
Okay.
Really good guy.
8:54, nice time night. For another look at the Showbiz Beat. Here's Ralph Garman.
That's a hot take there, Kev.
Thank you.
He's a good guy. Guilty!
Who?
Guilty!
Who?
Star Wars.
Of
guilty.
Being awesome.
Of trying to kill Harrison Ford.
What?
Yeah, the British production company owned by Disney that produced Star Wars The Force Awakens pleaded guilty today to two health and safety violations on the set of the movie. This is all in connection with the incident that damn near killed Harrison Ford. He was just minding his own business, walking through the Millennium Falcon when a dope pressed a button that operated the hydraulic door that knocked him over, pinned him to the floor, and crushed his leg.
Oh,
guilty,
God.
Guilty, 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 guilty. Although he only suffered a broken leg, the force of the blow could have killed him, prosecutors said.
Well, the force is strong.
I liked it.
Of course you did, Sheebean. The London-based production company acknowledged that it broke the law on Pinewood Studios' set, and they pled guilty to two charges of failing to ensure workplace safety. Sentencing is expected to take place next month. Someone's going to do some time.
No, really? Wow.
Yes.
It won't just be a
not
fine?
Not just fines?
Death. Penalties.
No, I think you're...
They're
going to
be
going
to England. You don't know anything about English justice.
Really?
You don't know the English judicial system.
I don't think you do either, though.
I was a barrister for years.
Were you? I didn't realize
yes,
that.
Didn't know. In Manchester.
Sure.
Ford, 71, was, as you remember, airlifted to a hospital for treatment. And he's lucky to be alive. The force of the door that came down on him, it was discovered in the course of the trial, was comparable to the weight of a small car.
Wow.
Oh, gosh.
Wow.
Harrison could have cut his foot off.
Just could have.
Could have cut his foot off.
Just could have.
Did I slur that?
Yes.
Huh. All right.
In the original film, Harrison said, the door would have been closed with a pulley and a stagehand. But now we have lots of money and technology, so they built an effing great hydraulic door which closed at light speed.
Oh, no.
So he wasn't too pleased with the incident, but...
Just let it go, right?
Someone is going to have to be responsible for this.
By the way, let's not forget that Harrison Ford crash-landed an airplane, too, within the last couple of years. He's very lucky to be alive.
Nah, he's tough.
He's Indiana best. Jones. Yeah. Han Solo, he can do it. He can crash planes and get... cars dropped on his leg. It doesn't matter.
He's still the man.
Still the man. It's a quiet man.
The door. Ow. He said in court.
The stenographer's like, I got
nothing. Yeah, I got a bunch of... I'm going to push buttons for a while over here. Dr. Dre! In a bizarre confrontation outside his home... this week, he confronted a motorist who was parked outside his home in Malibu, according to the Associated Press. And Dre asked the guy to move his car. The guy complied, but was still yelling and swearing at Dre as Dr. Dre pulled into his own driveway. That's when Dre got out his phone to record the incident, according to TMZ. And the man reportedly said, "Here we go again, another black guy with a gun."
Wow.
Really?
So the man calls 911, and the county sheriffs show up because the guy said, this guy's pulling a gun on me. So they pull up. Cops arrive. Dre was handcuffed and searched.
Oh, my gosh.
But the officers did not find a gun. So they release him. However, the motorist, the guy in the car who started all this,
mm-hmm.
he won't let it go and insists on making a citizen's arrest.
What? Isn't he the one who was parked in front of Dre's house?
Yes!
He caused this whole thing.
Yes!
And Dr. Dre just pulled out a phone.
Yes!
But couldn't Dr. Dre have said, here's the video that I took?
Well,
to prove I had the phone?
Here's the problem. The paperwork by law must be now sent to the district attorney's office, and they will decide whether to press charges or not. I don't even know what they would charge him with. But if it does go any further, Dre reportedly has video on his phone that would probably put the whole thing to rest. I can't imagine they will pursue the charges because it seems pretty...
Just shaky. Let it go,
right? It seems pretty shaky to
begin with.
The wise
man once said.
Yes.
How long has it been since we have done the phone topic of you put somebody under a citizen's arrest or somebody put you under a citizen's arrest?
Not long enough. I love that.
It's been a while.
It's dumb.
It is dumb, right?
Citizen's arrests are dumb.
But how?
But I love them.
Dumb,
I love
absurd.
Them.
However,
arrests.
There are circumstances if you knock down a guy who's running down the street after robbing a bank or something like that, or you see him shoot somebody and you sit on him until the cops
I
get
arrest
there.
Thee.
That's kind of a citizen's arrest is you just...
No, you're
hang
just
on
detaining
to
them for the police.
Citizens' arrests are not usually centered around murders, though, Bean. It's usually something much less important.
No, I wasn't saying murder. I was saying you see a guy commit a crime and you hang on to him.
But that's not
you
a citizen's arrest if you're detaining him for the police.
That's
you're just
different.
Sitting
okay.
on
you're
him,
just
dude.
Sitting on him.
All right.
You're just detaining him until police arrive. That's not a citizen's arrest.
Well, don't knock sitting on a dude either, by the way.
What?
Citizens arrest. Let's do that tomorrow. That'd be fun.
All right. It's not going to be fun. It'd be dumb people doing dumb things.
Love it. I'm in.
Let's talk to Samuel.
No.
The
no.
Good call.
See
no.
If he has ever.
I'm all in on that.
Under citizens arrest.
He'll be able to tell us the next citizen arrest that's going to happen.
Right. That
that's
way
perfect.
We can be there.
Thumbs up.
I miss Samuel the psychic.
He was magical.
He was so best. Did he?
You know what he wasn't? Psychic.
You don't know, man.
Listenable.
Oh.
He said that he predicted that Donald Trump was going to be the nominee
in July.
This month.
Yeah. Real good.
So, was he right?
That's quite a prediction.
Was he right?
Well, I think everyone at this point has come to realize that that was going to happen.
You don't know, man.
Survey says.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Rolling Stone singer Mick Jagger, 73 years old today. God bless him. Helen Mirren, another British subject who's pretty talented, 71 years old.
How dare
you are not allowed to take back Helen Mirren.
Oh, I can take
not
back Helen Mirren in a second.
BS.
She's a beautiful woman.
In
yeah,
a
but it's
second.
Not, the bell is not like, oh, what an attractive older woman she is.
Right.
That's not what the bell is
correct.
About.
She's pretty today, you guys.
For an older woman, yes, she's
a beautiful 71-year-old
woman. She's a beautiful 71-year-old.
Yes.
Agreed.
Yes. Of all the 71-year-olds, she's probably the prettiest.
Why can't she just be attractive? Why can't she just be pretty now?
Because the bell, you know what the bell means? Bell means like, wow, hot. Let's make a special notification that this woman
the bell
is rises above and beyond.
The bell is a boner alert. That's what that is.
Well.
Oh, wow.
Who's with me?
I have no idea.
Okay.
Now I'm a little creeped out.
I feel like the bell.
Too much?
Bell isn't really a boner alert, but okay.
Thank you.
Thanks for
just
that
saying.
Input. Thanks for clarifying that.
You're welcome.
It was helpful.
The umpire has spoken. Kevin Spacey is 57 years old today. Sandra Bullock is 52. Jeremy Piven turns 51. Jason Statham. Oh, I like Jason Statham. He's good. He's 49. Chris Harrison, our buddy Chris.
Chris.
The Bachelor, Bachelorette, and, of course, Bachelor in Paradise. Turns 45 today. Kate Beckinsale's 43. See, now, Kate Beckinsale,
there you
that's
go.
What we're talking about. That's...
And Sandra Bullock, too. Both beautiful women. But so is Helen Mirren.
For 71-year-old.
Singer and actress Taylor Momsen is 23 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
1-800-520-1067. It's time for Kevin Means What's Good. Hit it, Steve.
Like we always do at this time. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and testify. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and notify.
All right, this looks like a good batch of calls, lots of different topics. Why don't we start with Rex? He's on line one, please. He's calling about apparently something coming to town I've never heard of before. Hey, Rex.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. What's good?
Not much. I just wanted to let you guys know about the California Regional Burlapix.
The what? The Burlapix?
Yeah.
It's a what kind of competition?
a burlesque and variety competition.
Oh, it's the Burlympics?
Well, it was called the Burlympics, but a representative from the original, from the Olympics called and said, we can't use the word Burlympics because it's too close to Olympics.
Yeah, they're pretty tight with their copyright on the word Olympics, that's for sure. So what else do you know about it? Is it people from all over the country, all over the world, doing what?
No, it's people from all over the U.S. and some from out of state, not out of the country, and they come over to compete.
Shake that ass.
Yeah, no, it's pretty awesome.
When and where?
Friday at 9:30 over at Faye Dodo.
My friend is a burlesque dancer. I wonder if she's in it.
Sweet. What's your friend's name?
She goes by La Cholita.
I know her.
She's the best! Natasha Estrada, she's the best.
It's a small world here.
It is a small world.
I know her. I don't know. He said a couple times, wee-wee. I think maybe Rex has something to do with this. He said, we've been told not to use it.
Yeah, Rex, are you the president of Burlympics?
No. That would be awesome. I am a burlesque MC and variety performer.
Oh. So he's in it. He's actually in it.
Burlesque right. MC. That's yeah, how far down on the show business ladder is that, do you think?
Oh, come on, Bean.
No, but think about it, really. I mean, that's below a strip club DJ, right?
What's that?
I said, you're doing great work, Rex, and I'm glad you called, sir. Friday night, we'll look forward to it. Thank you very much.
Thanks, all right.
Let's try Adam, line two, calling from Los Angeles up next on the Kevin and Bean Show. Adam, thank you for calling. What's good?
Hi, how are you guys? How are you doing this morning?
We're very good. Thank you. How are you?
Doing great.
All right, what's good?
I just got married exactly a week ago, mm-hmm. and I'm out here in L.A. driving up the coast with my beautiful wife, and just wanted to know if you have some marriage advice for me.
You're already having trouble? You've been married a week.
No, I think he just wants tips. I don't think there's anything wrong yet.
Oh,
You guys got married on a Tuesday?
Yeah, club's going up on a Tuesday. You know.
Okay, all right. Was that your first dance song too?
What was that?
Was that your first dance song?
No, I wasn't.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, Adam. I'll give you some advice. She's always right.
Yeah, I've heard that before.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, there is a reason there are so many expressions like happy wife, happy life. It does look, don't fight over things unless they are important.
Exactly.
That would be the advice that I would give to you. Let some of the small stuff go, and I think that's good advice for both of you.
My advice being an unmarried woman, however, is good. It's pick your battles, for sure.
Definitely.
Okay. Okay.
All right.
Until you're not impressed. Thank you for the call. I appreciate it.
Sounds like we've helped a lot. Thank you.
Let's go to Southgate. Alex is up next. He's on line three here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Alex, what's good?
What's good, guys?
You tell us.
So over the weekend, we outperform Friday and Saturday night at the Hollywood Bowl.
Weird Al.
It is an amazing show. If nobody has seen it, it's just he is a talented person. And I just wanted to say that. And
he's also, a what person?
Talented.
Talented.
Talented. Okay.
Also, yesterday was my anniversary for my wife. Me and my wife have been together for 11 years.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And she actually bought a vinyl at the Hollywood Bowl and also had Weird Al autographs, so I wanted to rub it into Mr. Bean Baxter.
Oh, that's pretty sweet.
Yeah, that's a nice item right there. I'm glad you called about that. I'm glad you had such a good time. And I will tell you, I hear from so many people, because they know I love Weird Al. He's the best human on earth. I hear from so many listeners who went to see Weird Al, and they thought, this will be mildly amusing. It's a nice way to pass. And then they walk out of there blown away by what a great show. It's so much better than you could ever imagine it, isn't it, Alex?
It is. Actually, it's the same thing. My wife's like, it's Weird Al. You know, I like a couple songs. But it's not the songs. It's basically how he performs them.
He puts on a great show.
Yeah, he really does. Well, I'm glad you had a great time. Happy anniversary. Thanks for the call. Let's do one more. Let's make it Nancy Chino Hills, our final call for Kevin and Bean's What's Good. Hi, Nancy. You're up.
Good morning.
What's good?
I watched The Walking Dead on Sundays and Ray Donovan, but I found a new show. It's called The Night Of. Guys, gotta watch it. It's a great show.
The best.
Here's what
it
I
is,
know.
We're all watching it. It's
I know. Bean's watching it. Allie's watching it. And every other person that watches it loves it.
Yeah.
I haven't gotten to
and
it yet.
There's only three episodes. There's only three episodes so far. I think it's an 8-part miniseries, yeah. I think
you're right. Yeah. Yeah. For folks who don't know, it's about a Pakistani-American who is arrested for a murder that he blacked out for. So he doesn't know whether he did it or not, but he doesn't think he did. But everybody's convinced that he did just because he's a Pakistani-American. They feel, oh, of course he would kill the white girl.
There's no way he did it, right?
Well, we don't know yet.
No, there's no way he did it, and I'll tell you why. Because of that cat. That cat gave us a clue.
Say no more.
The other night.
Nancy, do you know what they're talking about?
Yes.
See?
And the actor plays the Riz Ahmed.
Riz Ahmed, yes.
And great performer to be in the new Star Wars coming out and the Jason Bourne movie.
Yes, he's in Bourne and he's in Rogue One. He is definitely a star on the rise, and he's very, very talented. But this is a great tip from Nancy.
Good looking.
Nas is hot.
Even if he butchered a girl.
But only one. You only killed one girl. Didn't mean to kill you, Allie. All right, great call, Nancy. Thank you. This has been What's Good. What's Good?
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:38. We have a pair of tickets to see the LA Galaxy versus Colorado Rapids. This is at StubHub Center August 13th. What?
That's fantastic.
Really?
Free stuff.
Easy.
All right, take it easy.
Still soccer, though,
first,
right?
How dare you. First two callers right now, 1-800-520-1067. You get a pair of tickets to see the Galaxy play the Colorado Rapids. Good luck. Ralph is here for a look at the Showbiz Beat. What's going on, Ralph?
Well,
I don't like that. I don't like the sound of that.
Yeah, I'm just worried about Lindsay Lohan, that's all. I thought she was all growed up. I thought she'd worked some stuff out. I thought she was on the right path.
She did disappear from the tabloids for a while.
Yeah.
Tabloid news.
She's been dating Russian multimillionaire Igor Tarabasov. And it looked like they were happy. But then we started to hear things. Oh, you know, she'd throw his phone off the yacht. And he'd throw a drink in her face. And then it seemed like there was trouble in paradise. Then she went on a long string of Instagram posts about how he was cheating on her with a Russian hooker. And how he's the worst. And then there would be some sort of incoherent series of words that second only to, like, perhaps Kevin texting you in San Diego.
How dare you?
And it was confusing, and it seemed ugly, and it seemed problematic. And then there was the police had to be called at her home, where she was claiming he was attacking her, and the police said there was nothing there, but she screamed and threw him out. And then she went to Heathrow Airport to escape London. And she documented all of this on Instagram.
So she's sharing that with the world.
Oversharing.
Okay.
Airing her dirty laundry, if you will. On social media. And now it's our fault? ? She recently uploaded a picture of a heart-shaped cloud with the following caption. I would appreciate if these speculations regarding my personal life would respectfully come to a halt. Unfortunately, a private matter has become more public than I can control. I wonder how that happened. I would be extremely grateful if my fiancé and myself could discuss our personal matters on our own. Instagram!
Well, call him on the phone, then.
There are more important things going on in the world than our relationship. Yes, but stop talking about it! Please leave us be to solve our personal matters. We would love that to be the case, then. Delete your account.
Yeah.
In the words of one of the presidential candidates.
That's odd that she would just overshare and then be mad that people...
Nothing better than when someone has just dumped everything out on social media and then asks us to please respect their privacy.
Lindsay! 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 Lindsay Lohan!
Here's an interesting piece of memorabilia to bid on. How would you like to own Wolfman Jack's bong? Anyone? Anyone putting down a bid at this auction?
I don't want that.
DJ Wolfman Jack had a Harley Davidson bong that is hitting the auction block. He got the water pipe as a present for his bachelor party in 1961 at the peak of his career. Where it is, it's been all cleaned out of the years of smoke that Wolfman Jack enjoyed out of it, and now it's up on the auction block.
No, I'm going to get high tonight, though. I'm going to get very high tonight. I'm going to get so f***ed
never said that. We should have. It is going up for auction today. Auction will probably close out today. What do you think they're expecting it to sell for? What do you think it's going to get? Wolfman Jack's bong.
Boy, I don't.
Legendary
I'm
DJ
a huge Wolfman Jack fan.
Right, but do you want his bong?
I don't.
$420.
I was going to say $3,000.
$3,000. I feel like Drew Carey.
$5,000.
Kevin is closest with his $5,000 bid. It's expected to sell for $10,000 today.
Wow.
Trust me, I will keep you updated on this story tomorrow.
Yeah,
we'll check in tomorrow and see how much Wolfman Jack's bong went for. But it's a Harley Davidson bong. It sounds like a badass bong, quite frankly.
Get this weak stock out of here.
Yeah.
$10,000.
That's crazy.
If it sells for $10,000, I will applaud. I will absolutely
applaud.
Yes.
I mean, if it were a Wolfman Jack microphone or one of his famous Hawaiian shirts or, you know, something like that, I could see going for it. But the bong, it just has nothing to do with the career, you know? That's what I'm surprised by.
I will clap for the Wolfman if it goes for $10,000. I wasn't let go of beam getting away that one. I just kept going. I just had to keep going.
I'm sorry for the realness.
I am too.
I'm very disappointed that even after you said applaud,
nothing.
I did not see that coming.
Nobody stuck around.
Wow. Now hiring both locations.
Oh, good. Wow. I need a new job. And it looks like Star Wars is guilty of attempted murder.
I'm sorry?
I don't think.
Well, not exactly. But the British production company owned by Disney that did produce Star Wars The Force Awakens is guilty of two health and safety violations on the set of that film. This all stemming from the incident regarding Harrison Ford when he broke his leg in the Millennium Falcon. You may remember that one of the hydraulically operated doors on that set knocked him over and pinned him to the floor during an accident while filming. It broke his leg. And prosecutors said the force of the blow could actually have killed him if it hit his head instead of his body and leg. The force of the hydraulically closed door, they said, was comparable to that the weight of a small car being pinned on his leg.
And was Harrison Ford behind this? Because if not, who
was what he do you behind mean? This?
I'm saying, like, the
he's the victim of it,
right? But I'm saying, why would they prosecute this if Harrison Ford wasn't pressing charges or anything, right?
No, but it's the health and safety violations. The businesses are held accountable.
That's separate from
held accountable to the health and safety of its workers. And if there's an accident, a workplace accident, they investigate it. If it's found to be guilt on their part, somebody has to be held All responsible right. for that. Is that okay with you?
Yeah.
All right.
I'll allow it.
Okay. So we'll find out, I think, on Thursday exactly what penalty will be levied against the British production company. But Harrison Ford has talked about the accident. This is my favorite quote. He said, in the original film, the door would have been closed with a pulley, just a stagehand closing it. But now we have lots of money and technology, so they built an effing great hydraulic door which closed at light speed. Someone pushed a button when he was on the set. That was the problem. Somebody accidentally
hit
that button.
Can you imagine pushing a button that
that cripples Han Solo?
Oh, man.
As if enough bad things weren't happening to Han Solo in that movie.
Oh, my God.
Right?
Oh. That would be terrible.
It was probably Kylo Ren who pushed the button.
You think so?
Think?
Wow. He's the most likely suspect, I'll tell you that.
Thank you for helping me make my decision, Father. I'm going to press the button and hurt you at the door.
Kylo Ren, what a pussy. Right?
Hey,
Harry.
In anticipation of tonight, I
Yes? You.
I wrote two speeches.
Okay.
A long one and a short one. Because I thought it might be a long evening. I'll give you the short one. Thank you.
He's still dynamic. Brings it, doesn't he?
New DVDs and movies are released today, in case you're curious. And you want to pick something up? Criminal! With Kevin Costner and Gary Oldman. This came and went, man. I didn't even hear about this.
Same.
Is there a horn in the distance? Is there a ship going by? Do you have to raise the drawbridge? What's happening?
It sounds to me like the painters are maybe vacuuming or something. I apologize downstairs. Right?
Jesus.
I got the house is still being worked on.
This is our problem every day somehow.
I've just moved in. Right. And there's work to be done.
Okay,
I can't say to them, don't work before
noon. But that's
noon.
Not on us.
Why don't you hear the blowhorn as the ship goes by?
Just ignore it. Just pretend it's
not
happening.
Well, I would if it wasn't going off over and over and over again.
It sounds like they're pretty busy down there. I'll try to call them off for tomorrow.
Okay. All right.
It wasn't my choice,
good
you
chat.
Guys.
I mean, don't let us get in the way of the work being done to your house.
Right.
I feel like that is on you as you're the homeowner.
Don't let your job get in the way of paint.
Wait, douche. Do you own the home?
I do.
That's being painted?
Yes.
Well, then I feel like you hired the guys. You're responsible for their behavior.
Right, I feel like maybe that is on you.
And they know to lay off the heavy duty work until afternoon. But for whatever reason, I guess they thought the vacuum wouldn't be heard all the way up here. I'm sorry about that. I'll talk to them.
No, it's fine. Yeah, it's just atmosphere. It's great. I feel like I'm on the Thames and a barge is going by. Can't wait to see the changing of the guard later today.
But don't you miss my birds from back home in Seattle?
Oh, you're a nightmare. You know your job is heard, right? People can hear you.
Yes, I understand. Look, I've been doing the best I can. This got away from
it's
me.
It's a poor job.
You remember the 2 months he denied that people could hear the birds?
There's been bells ringing and phones and birds and dogs and vacuum cleaners. Your whole career has been a nightmare.
USA, USA, USA.
Your job depends on sound. The boss, Melissa McCarthy and Peter Dinklage, also available today.
I would very much like to be excluded from this
narrative.
I'm sure
you would. I'm sure you would.
Barbershop, the next cut. I am Raph. With John Travolta and Christopher Maloney.
Is that real? Come on.
It is real.
Some people tune out.
And Hardcore Henry, that POV, that first-person movie with Sharto Copley.
Come on.
Is also available today.
You're making that noise, Kevin.
Well, I'm turning it up, but Bean's also turning it up, I think. I'm sure it's heard.
Celebrity birthdays today. Rolling Stones frontman Mick Jagger is 73 years old today. Actress Helen Mirren is 71.
No!
Kevin Spacey's 57. Sandra Bullock's 52. Jeremy Piven celebrates a birthday today. He's 51. Jason Statham is 49
all
years
three
old
of them?
Today.
Born today?
Chris Harrison, my buddy Chris. Bachelor host, of course, and Bachelorette and Bachelor in Paradise. He's got a sweet-ass gig with all those shows he does. 45 years old today. Kate Beckinsale is 43. And singer-actress Taylor Momsen is 23 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Thank you, Ralph. On your drive home today, listen to a commercial-free 5 p.m. hour, a random act of helpfulness from the SoCal Helpful Honda dealers. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean show. If you made a citizen's arrest, we're going to need to talk to you tomorrow. We also have the Bachelorette Report, and we have Dodger Justin Turner on the program. How about that? That's going to be... And Bean vacuums.
We'll be done here in a minute, Mr. Baxter.
Take your
come
time,
on, guys. Come on.
I have to get up and drywall done.
I'm doing a show here.
Doing some sanding.
Turn it off.